Well, welcome into the Crunch Zone. My name is Mark Blankenbaker. Got Joe Kelly, Dave Skull, and LJ the Fiasco here in the building. Fresh off of a season opening win versus Purdue. We all went to Lucas Oil Stadium, and we didn't all finish inside Lucas Oil Stadium. Joe will have a story about that. But
so there I was. No, it'll be later. we decided to not even talk about it on the drive with Mark Ennis on Monday, but Magic Mike edited it perfectly where he took me when I got to tailgate and Mark handed me the mic, and I'm like, we made it. We broke down twice. We're here. We're going to tailgate. It's going to be the greatest day ever. And then he edited it to have a record scratch and then did the Ron Howard mic drop narrator voice from Arrested Development. It wasn't.
Well, I'll tell you, for me personally, I thought it was wild. Like, just getting there, like, it was perfect weather.
It's a weird, wild stuff.
And I was, you know, worried about, you know, where do I find the radio show? Because I thought, walking up, that, you know, the Red Rage tailgate would be kind of, like, out front. They would be obvious. A single, like, RV and, like, a parking lot that was very obvious. And it was, like, hidden in this, like, whole, like, section of other RVs with Louisville flags. So, and Patty Ice from ESPN Louisville is setting up for me. And then we're surrounded by drunk people the whole time. And then I just think that the way that it worked out, Red Rage did 1,000 beers 90 minutes before kickoff. I think Louisville fans went really hard.
Only 1,000? What did everybody else drink?
I don't know, but there was a lot of bourbon there too. But
yeah, going
Louisville
way
fans
went
so hard that it was almost like, well, we weren't in mid-season form.
No,
like at all as a fan base, and so it was very difficult to do the show. It was fun, but it was just like one of those things where it was like, holy moly, like what is going on here? How do I kind of keep this all together? But we got it done, and you know, Louisville went on to win. But
radio and Ground Zero can get hectic, man. It was like the tent city in the others. Like, I'm pretty sure I saw a guy in stocks and barracks. Like, it was atoning for everyone. Like, it was the wild, wild west.
Right. So I mean, you know, for me, like the game didn't go nearly how I thought it would, and how we kind of discussed and the last podcast, how it would happen, you know, and I think that with the final score, the way it ended up occurring, I think fans would have walked away from the game, you know, at least feeling better about things if it hadn't been sort of same old, you know, and it's rare that you go to a college football game and win, and the losing side is cheering its team coming off the field, and the winning team is that their fans are sort of like, what was that? And that's what we had on Saturday in Lucas Oil Stadium. And I don't know if Dave or LJ, if y'all want to kind of just talk about that part of you know, just how it went on Saturday for Louisville versus Purdue.
Well, it was in-game. It was a very frustrating experience for all of us. I think it's safe to say. But post-game, I was determined not to be, even second half, I was determined not to freak out about it because I knew how most of the fan base was going to be, especially directly after the game, and I had to put on my rational hat. I don't like to put that thing on, but I had to put on my rational thought hat.
And, I like a rational happy hat, like when Lamar goes for like 700.
Right.
Like, he is going to be president of the United States.
That boy can do whatever he wants.
He's an astronaut.
He's going to cure cancer.
I got an answer for Irma.
Yeah.
Right. But in reality, I mean, penalties aside and a couple of other things I'd like to talk about, in reality, we don't fumble twice on the goal line. We feel so much different about that game because two more touchdowns in the first half, Purdue doesn't get that juice, and that means everything. If you give the shred of belief to a team like that, they feel like they can play with you, they're going to play with you.
Throwing fuel on the fire.
Exactly.
Sort of thing, yeah.
I mean, we get a comfortable lead in the first half. We might stretch it out in the second or at least win by 17, 20 points. You know what I mean? As opposed to that's a struggle to the end of the game. But beyond that, 10 false starts, 16 penalties, lack of a push in the under-center run game. Those are the things that really bothered me more than anything. I thought the defense played pretty well in the first half and didn't really start relenting to Purdue until we started turning the ball over. And we stopped possessing the ball for long stretches of time.
Right.
That's when the defense started suffering and when Jair went down. Yep. We had an adjustment period. Fourth quarter, they stepped up and did what they needed to do.
Right.
For us to win the game, which was the one thing that I haven't really heard a lot of. We finally got the defense to step up and make a stop in the first game. You can say what you want about the overall performance, but the biggest concern we all had about the defense last year was that they never got a stop when we needed it.
And they got a bunch.
They got several in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, when they needed them. So that was like a big deal. You know, the interceptions were huge.
It wasn't too much freaking out for me. It was just more upset that we left points on the field, like Dave said.
Yep.
Especially, you know, you left 14 points on the one-yard line. Jalen Smith fumbles after a catch. The missed opportunities that we had from Lamar, I guess missing receivers or receivers dropping passes and whatnot. And then we knew they were going to pick on Tremaine. And as soon as Jarry went down, they went straight to his side, man, and everything was over his head and whatnot. And like I said in Bucketheadism, he's not a bad player, and I'm not one of those bash Tremaine guys, but I just think that if you know that size is going to be his weakness and you're going to put a 6'5 receiver on him, he's 5'9". Go some help him out over the top.
Help him out.
Other than that, the penalties, Louisville didn't really play a perfect game by far. But there's just so much opportunity that was left out there. That's why I was most disappointed for him. And I kept saying it feels like 2016 at the end again, just like
right.
No focus. Kind of let's just get this over with. But then you look up, Lamar has 485 total yards, and you're just like, how the hell did that happen?
He had a great game.
And honestly, the first thing I said post game was, I feel like the false start thing is a cadence issue.
Yes.
Or something like, and then we hear – I totally buy the explanation from Bobby on Monday. I do. I'm not saying it's going to be fixed completely on Saturday. I expect it to be better, though. Freshmen, people just don't understand how big communication is on the offensive line. If the freshman center has his timing wrong when he's trying to – and credit Purdue and their coaching, they're making late adjustments and late shifts to make him essentially talk over Lamar's clap. Everybody can hear the clap but the offensive line. So he's yelling out adjustments when he's supposed to be snapping the ball. And that's kind of reflected the fact that only four of his false starts were from the offensive line.
All right.
A lot of people don't realize that. Six
people
of them were
that.
From the perimeter.
Yep.
People forget that.
Two
it was four
two.
From the wide receivers, two from the tight ends.
And two from the true freshmen.
Right.
Exactly.
Well,
yeah.
A lot of those false starts, there are multiple guys moving. So it's like that's when the snap's supposed to be happening.
Exactly.
But
it speaks
to
that.
It's not occurring. You know, so they have to give the penalty to one player. Obviously, they can't give it to multiple players. So it goes into the books as a false start for Jalen Smith, for example, but really like four guys moved. You
yeah.
know what I mean? So like you can't just single it out. But I wanted to – LJ was talking about Tremaine Washington.
Hey, real quick, I want to touch on what Dave said because we had Mario Benavides on the drive last Thursday when we were out at CC Power Sports.
I love Mario.
Great guy.
He's a phenomenal analyst too, though. He's really got a gift for it.
He is. Awesome guy, though. Great to be around. And we talked to him about what to expect from now that – You know, we had Eric Wood, we had Mario do it, now we got Taco Bell as the redshirt freshman starting at center, that this is sort of becoming a Louisville tradition, and what can he expect? And he told us flat out, he said, you know, first of all, I'm going to say this about Makai. The man is huge. He was like, Joe, you called him Jonathan Ogden reincarnate. That's pretty accurate. He's going to get knocked on his tail, though, at some point. You know, Clemson might be a tough game for
mm-hmm.
him because he's going to be going up against – fast, strong, older guys. Now, Robbie Bell, he's gonna take some learning curves. He's gonna make some mistakes, and y'all just gotta stick with him. You know, it's gonna take him probably until fourth or fifth game of the year for the game to actually slow down for him and for him to have his timing right and his timing with his teammates. And you hope that he can get that by midseason, but it may be closer to the end for both of them. And you talk to anybody that played football, and it seems to be in football more than any other sport. When you ask them what's the difference at the next level, they always say the game moves so fast,
right?
And it takes so long to catch up with it. And, you know, Mario was talking about how that's what happens to a lot of guys that people say, I don't understand how he didn't make it in the NFL. He was such a great college player. Because when you're a fifth-round pick, you don't get a lot of screw-ups. You don't get a whole lot of second chances unless the coaching staff just loves you. So
yeah, and Mario went undrafted, so he even got fewer chances.
Exactly.
But, like, with Makai Becton, what you're saying is I do think that he'll have some struggles, but they use Linwood Foy. Even on the first drive, they subbed Makai out, put him back in. They did that a couple times throughout the game, so to kind of like coach him up, be like, this is what they're doing to you. You know, pay attention. This is their strategy. So they pulled him out of the game on the opening drive and then subbed him back in because they wanted to kind of calm him down. What they didn't do, which I thought was odd, was they didn't do that with Robbie Bell.
Let me ask you all this. If the problem was that simple, why after maybe the fifth one, why didn't you know, Summers tell him, stop trying to audible.
Right. Well, see, and that's been a big criticism of Bobby Petrino, like, as a coach, is that in-game adjustments a lot of times don't happen. And you know, a lot of times you talk about some of the losses Louisville and Arkansas took in big environments when they had big leads. Teams adjusted, and he didn't. This is one where I'm like, well, you know, you have 10 false starts, and a lot of them are on the snap count and the cadence. And what Purdue was doing, Petrino calls it stimming. They're waiting till deep into the play clock, and then they stem. There's no time to call that adjustment out at all. Like, he can't – so the ball has to get snapped right there. So as a result, Louisville's, you know, false starting. But I have something that I haven't heard anybody talk about yet. It's when Purdue is on defense, they make noise. That's not an invitation for Louisville fans to match their noise.
I noticed that.
And when Purdue doesn't have the ball, when they have the ball, their fans are quiet, and so are Louisville's. So
neutral site games confuse people.
You know, I blame the Red
I'm
Rage.
I'm a yell.
I blame the Red Rage tailgates 1,000 beers for this.
Yeah.
Because y'all weren't thinking. Y'all need to be quiet.
Just like
Louisville has the ball,
right?
Because you have a red shirt freshman center that's struggling with the cadence. So will you chill out and stop making noise when your team has the ball? Please stop.
To speak to what you were saying earlier,
you're not helping.
You said,
I want some butts. I want them now. I've had it. Yeah. I've got it queued up. I was going to play it.
Do it.
I mean, yeah, I don't even know. This is from Top Gun. Number
409. I want somebody's
butt. I want it now.
That's two.
That's twice. I want some butts.
But to speak to why you asked why they didn't switch Robbie Bell out when he was struggling, center quarterback exchange.
No, I get
okay. It. I wouldn't have touched that. I understand why Bobby didn't. You know what I mean? You get into a situation where you're switching out the center and you have different hand placement and different routine and different rhythm.
What about silent?
I wouldn't. What about under center exchange? I mean, we're dealing with a new quarterback who's. Or not a new quarterback, but a quarterback center. Who's dealing with under center for the first time. Like, I just wouldn't have messed with anything as far as a center quarterback. Right. I would rather have the growing pains with the same center all year long.
Right.
But
so
at least all game long.
But if you're North Carolina and you're Clemson, wouldn't you shift your alignment late in the play clock?
Absolutely.
Until they prove that they can get it together, because that's what I would do.
Like, yeah, I got a feeling that's what they're working on that do. All week. Though.
You know, right. Fedora's going to see it. Like,
right.
Well, not Fedora, but their defensive coordinator is going to see
well,
it.
Well, I mean, Fedora's yeah,
there's
too,
there's blocking know. Schemes that you can call, man blocking schemes, not zone. You know, things like situations where you can make it so a late shift is not nearly as material as it is in other situations.
Right.
And I would expect us to maybe adjust in such fashion.
Right. And another thing that Purdue did defensively that I thought was really smart was they basically said, Louisville, you don't have a running back with this zone read until yep. you prove that you have a running back with this yeah. zone read. Yep. We're not going to even look like Lamar Jackson.
We didn't run
has.
A ton of read plays. I mean, overall, it wasn't the base of our offense like it was most of the year.
But you couldn't get Lamar yeah. to explode in the run game when
You're
he
right.
did run. Like, he just it wasn't there, and now it's because they basically were like, you don't have a running back, and so yeah. you prove that you do.
What a credit to Lamar, though. I mean, I was so impressed. Like, you can't tell. I could count on one hand how many pure mistakes he made, really, on Saturday. And the ones he did make, I mean,
he made a couple of plays that I don't think anyone else on earth could make.
Exactly.
The play
he
where
broke
he
a
went
clean
left,
pocket once.
When he went left, he came back, he put the blitzer, like, seriously spun him around.
Yeah.
Then took off in a straight forward sprint and stopped on a dime and reset on right in front of the line of scrimmage and
he's
then fired disgusting. It downfield.
It's so ridiculous.
Yeah, he's
I only saw him break one clean
really
pocket,
is.
Really, all game, and then he threw into coverage in the fourth quarter once. But
right.
that's
yeah.
pick. It's honestly picking at something that's not really there. He
should have been a pick.
As every It should have been, but, like, yeah. as the seams were – everything was coming apart at the seams in the second and third quarter – you know, he was kind of the calm, the port in the storm, which is what you want out of your quarterback. It was beautiful
right.
to see.
Well, go ahead.
No, go ahead, man. I was going to say no sacks. That's all I was going to say.
Yeah.
The no sacks
which
part
was,
and,
yeah.
You know, the fact that the line protected him for the most part, even when he ran. But I think the credit – you got to credit Nick Holt because they've seen Petrino's offense at mm-hmm. Western. Brian played in it. Jeff coached in it as a QB coach. So they knew what Pacino was going to do. I wasn't really surprised that Purdue didn't really let us get ahead of them. But still, you know, the first fumble, Jordan Davis knocks the ball out of Lamar's hand, as we saw, not enough space. The second fumble, you're going to hate me for this, but Jeremy Smith's momentum was stopped. His Ford Parkers was stopped. He just reached the ball up and it got knocked out. I kind of think it shouldn't have been a fumble, but.
Well, I think that, and, you know, in the defense of the officials, which I rarely do, like when a player is reaching, even if his forward momentum is stopped,
the momentum of the ball isn't stopped.
The ball isn't stopped. Okay. So, like, you know what I mean? Like, even
plus
though his
body
is. They're
going to punish you for being an idiot.
Yeah.
And there's that.
I'm not calling Jeremy an idiot.
No, I'm just saying
that was a knucklehead play. Bobby even said as such. Like,
yeah.
You know, and Jair getting hurt on a play that never should have happened.
Right. But no, but you go six.
We really were playing bingo.
Was that a live? That was a live ball, though.
It's a live ball. He can return it, but. If he doesn't return it and he doesn't get it at the point of the kick, Louisville gets it at the point of the kick.
Yeah.
So even because it went all the way down inside the 10 where he recovered it, like the odds of him recovering it to the line of scrimmage are low. So he was feeling himself
as a returner there. He was like, I'm going to make this happen. And they're not expecting me to.
I'm going to get to do my prance again.
Yeah.
But then
it
was a long kick.
Does prance.
I think it was a 53-yard kick, right? But he actually was asking the coaches if he could go back and feel and like be like under the goalpost in case it was like a short kick, and they told him no, we want you to rush.
Right.
So he had in his mind before the ball was snapped at that he was going to return this ball if he had a chance to. And you know, for me,
did you hear about
really unfortunate.
Most of it, yeah.
Where he talked about, you know, basically if you block a kick and it goes behind the kicker, then you want everybody, all hands on deck, get that ball, scoop it, and run.
Yeah.
If it goes behind the defense.
With all net gain.
Yeah. If it goes behind the defense, apparently they all yell, Peter, 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 and that means stay away.
Peter was their call in high school with a block, with a shanked punt, anything. Yeah. You just get away from it. Peter was the call.
Shout out to the special teams, dude, because the first opening kick was almost brought back. The punt return was almost brought back.
Dude, their kicker had his scholarship on play one.
Oh, yeah, the punter saved two touchdowns.
Like, okay, special teams, is John O. Smith back on staff? That's what it looked like.
Right. But Jeremy Smith, you know, 6 carries, 8 yards, and a fumble. That's not getting it done. Even if he didn't fumble the ball, it wasn't getting it done. So for me, like Louisville, if you're going to do something, like what happens if Lamar Jackson has to miss some time? What does your offense look like? You didn't get Juwan pass any reps against Purdue. You don't have an established running back that you can really go to. What's your offense look like if he goes down? So running back to me over the next couple of weeks is going to be a huge emphasis on what I'm going to want to see.
For sure.
So
Malik Williams, I really wanted to see him, but he only got literally one catch out of the backfield. And he made it. He turned it into something, but we kind of abandoned the running game in the third quarter. I kept thinking to myself, we're just not even going to run the ball. It's just all pass. Okay.
Right.
Well, whatever.
And some of it is, does Bobby Petrino trust Jeremy Smith? Does he trust him? We don't see Malik Williams that much. Colin Wilson did dress out. Will we see him? I don't know, but they have a problem. So James Cook, if you want to come to Louisville, I mean, I think there's pretty much a spot right
there.
There's
reps out there, bud. There's reps out there. Get your reps.
Quite a few reps.
There's money to be had here in the city. James Cook.
But LJ was talking about Tremaine Washington, and, you know, like, I think a lot of people are on Tremaine a little bit more than they should be. On the first touchdown, he just got he misjudged his depth. He let the guy get too deep behind him. Mm-hmm. It was just a mental error.
The first one he broke left because I think he thought that the receiver was running an out route.
No.
And then the receiver got behind him. I watched it 3 times because that series really stood out to me because we had 4 consecutive really bad plays.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Tremaine was just the unfortunate guy to be a part of the last 3.
Right.
We had Jair Alexander straight mug a guy. I mean, he wrapped him up and took him down.
That was bad.
And then threw his hands up like, what'd I do?
Yeah.
It was the most Chris Jones moment. I was like, did Chris Jones get a jersey?
No, I'm pretty sure he knew that he did anything. He was just like, whatever. I mean, I did it. So
fair enough.
What do you
want me to do? But it was that. We had that pass interference. Then the very next play, Washington should have been called for pass interference, but he wasn't. And then he gave up the touchdown. So
Sindelar was just like looking, and the guy's just like, throw it. And he's like, okay, well. And he went right over his head. I'm sitting here just like, what the hell?
Right. Well, then in the second half, Tremaine Washington was pushed down and then called for pass interference, which I think is really, really weird. He didn't initiate any contact at all.
He was pushed down and pushed off.
Yeah, I don't know how
they were both going for the ball, and then he –
Yeah, I don't know how that's pass really interference. Dumb. And then the other pass interference that didn't involve Tremaine was on Kane pass. The guy's out of bounds. I mean, I don't know.
Uncatchable.
You know, not only is it uncatchable, it's uncatchable for him, and he's out of bounds. Like,
double whammy.
I don't know how you do that.
Yeah, he's an illegal receiver.
What about the one where Tremaine was
He should have picked it off in the end zone.
That's the Jameis Winston one where he throws it through a guy. And I'm just like,
oh, yeah.
I literally thought, he didn't get that?
How do you lose?
It looked like a glitch on his 12.
Hey, real quick, have y'all seen the glitches on Madden?
Dude,
I saw the video of
it. The Gronkowski hammer on Joe Hayden.
Dude, the two best that I've seen is there's one glitch where dudes that have dreads that grows out of their face, so they look like Chewbacca or some weird alien from Guardians of the Galaxy. And the other one is that to make the game smoother, because EA's best running game is FIFA, like as far as smoothness and operation, they apparently use that like game engine for Madden. So I saw a play where the Carolina Panthers were trying to recover a fumble, and instead they just dribbled it down the field. Dribbled it down the field for a touchback.
They just kicked the football.
They dribble it down. Yeah, it's like eight guys end up like running, and they go down to scoop it, and then you just see them kick it. And, wow.
Nothing beats spiking Joe Hayden's head for me, though. That was pretty brutal.
Yeah, he had to have that one. That was like he threw it right through his hands. I'm sitting here like Tremaine.
I had to watch the replay a couple times. Like, how did that happen?
I just kept seeing like, how did he?
Because I put my hands on. I was like, pick! Oh,
I just knew Tremaine had it, but, you know.
There were a lot of little things, like Dave said in his opening, you know, argument, that a lot of things go different. Three plays in particular stand out to me.
Right.
The two fumbles on the one-yard line and that pick, and it's a completely different ballgame.
Yeah, we're not even we're talking about how concerned we are about the false starts, but it's fixable. And we're talking about the 24-point win or 31-point win.
And just overall, like, just
– not to discount, because Purdue obviously was a well-coached team. As soon as they smelled blood in the water, they're like, all right. They didn't really make mistakes until late. You know what I mean?
I kind of felt like it was like Louisville, Ohio State in 92. Jeff Brohm was the quarterback. Like, Ohio State was a big old favorite. Kirk Herbstreit was a quarterback. Eddie George was like a fourth-string running back on that Ohio State team. But, like, they went in there, and, like, Louisville actually went for two to win in the horseshoe.
Yeah, that was Joey Galloway and Terry Glenn too.
Were they on that team too?
Because it always amazed me that Herbstreit, and I love Herbstreit. Like, he's one of my favorite personalities. But I'm like, how do you not play action your way to an NFL roster with that
group
in 1992? You know, when it was still power eye offense,
he play actioned it to ESPN career or something. But like,
he loves Louisville. And
but
I love
like,
him.
I just felt like it was like this thing where like. They came out of the gate. It was an opener, too. You know, everybody expected Ohio State to just blow the doors off Louisville. I hope that Purdue is as good as that 92 Louisville team.
Yeah.
But we don't know. I mean, we're going to have to find out. But there's other teams like Ohio State in 2014. They lost in week two to Virginia Tech, who was crap. Yeah. Lost by more than 10, ended up winning a national championship. Yeah. So I'd really encourage people to not freak out.
Well, and we're 1-0.
You're 1-0. Yeah,
that's all. And you know what? Like, if you're gonna play an ugly game or a lackluster performance, you want to get it out in early September. Get
Absolutely.
It out of the way. You don't want to be doing that in November and December.
That's what Bobby said.
Go ahead.
Bobby said that he's glad that we didn't blow him out. He's like, I'm glad you have this type of game in week one. So now you can't just feel good about yourself going to North Carolina. So if you improve on that in Chapel Hill this week, you know, then you got the big one next week.
Right.
So we'll see.
But none of us are dismissing the issues we had on Saturday. It's just that I think we're seeing them for what they are, generally fixable. And if we have the same issues in week two, then we'll come back and we'll talk about it.
Right.
But you know what I'm saying? It's we cut down on the false starts. We don't fumble inside the red zone, but inside the 5-yard line, you know.
I'm not surprised that having a 7:30 p.m. Opening game, I'm not surprised that on late Saturday night, early Sunday morning, Louisville fans were drunk, angry, disappointed.
Drunk.
God bless Mark Ennis. Post game, I wouldn't do that.
I say last week,
he looked so miserable.
I would have lost my mind.
Give Louisville fans all day to drink, and they would not disappoint. They gave Louisville fans from Friday night up until Saturday at 7:30 to go crazy.
They really
1,000 beers in 90 minutes, Mark.
1,000 beers with 90 minutes to go. You know, they had 90 yeah. minutes until kickoff, and they were out of beers.
I just remember we were on air when they brought 300 beers.
They
from,
were coming through like
from
a,
yeah. was it a Great Flood?
Case after yeah. case.
Brought,
case after
they
case.
Brought in 300 beers, and by the time I got off air, they were gone. I was mean, just like,
how's that happen?
But thank God the good people at Red Rage Tailgate pulled out their reserves of Elijah Craig for the biscuit.
Jeez. But I just
full cup. Full cup, ladies and gentlemen. Full 16-ouncer with just a little bit of ice in there.
Splash.
But no, so but Louisville will travel to Chapel Hill this week, and they fell to the Cow Bears this week.
It sounded like you said Cow Bears.
The that's cow.
What,
cow.
Yeah, that's what
man,
I was like.
Man, bear, pig.
Cow.
Cow. Cow bear.
Cow bear.
Cow bear.
Eat
cow
more
bear.
Chicken.
The California man bear pigs.
Eat more chicken. No.
Super cereal.
University of California Bears and Berkeley. That's who they played.
And they
played in Chapel Hill, and they lost by five. And now the country doesn't think a lot about either Cal or North Carolina.
Fighting Aaron Rodgers.
And I think it's interesting because you would expect that North Carolina, I think, would be on the winning side of this, but instead they lose at home.
Well, I mean, North Carolina, for people that are unfamiliar with North Carolina's roster, which I would assume is most everyone that doesn't live in Chapel Hill,
mm-hmm.
They're young, man. They had to replace everything. They got two new wide receivers, a new tight end, a new running back, new quarterback.
Two new quarterbacks.
yeah, and they played them both.
So, I mean, so no new quarterback. Brandon Harris from LSU. I mean,
He's so bad.
He was so bad. He was 7.
Why
of
would
16.
You? Why would you take a transfer from the land of misfit quarterbacks? Like LSU is known for having uber talented rosters with a hole at quarterback.
Right.
Like, let me take your leftovers.
Jamarcus Russell.
Damn it. He's the last good
back
one.
Yeah.
But he was a good college quarterback.
I remember riding home from the Orange Bowl, listening to the Sugar Bowl on air, and arguing with my friends. Well, which one do you take with the first pick? Do you take Jamarcus or Brady Quinn?
Right.
Whoa.
This is why I'm not a GM.
Actually,
maybe I could
yeah,
be a GM.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you said that early, a couple days ago, and I was like, actually, you'd fit right in, dude. That's the exact same conversation that 32 NFL GMs were having that year.
Take a different
you're good, position. Man.
I
could be the Jets GM. Because
I had never heard of
Jarvis
Landry or Odell Beckham because I'm just like, who was their quarterback? When they play LSU, I don't remember that happening.
When did they ever get the ball?
They're on the same team.
They were on the same team.
College, man.
Brandon Harris, you know, in the North Carolina Cal game, he was 7 of 16 with 60 yards, averaged 3.8 yards per attempt,
yeah.
and threw two picks.
This is Saturday's game.
This is Saturday's game. No winner, no touchdowns, two interceptions. Awful line, like really awful. So they went to Shaz
Surratt.
That's
good stuff right there, bro.
And he actually fared much better, but it still wasn't good. Okay, so like it wasn't a good performance passing ball. Larry Fedora is a guy who really needs a quarterback in order to really do well. So Louisville should do well in this game, but we'll find out if Carolina works out the jam.
One thing I noticed, which I always look at, is like I always look at how a team loses, and I'm just like, they stopped the run. They gave up 363 yards passing, I think.
They did.
And I'm just like, you got to think Bobby's just like,
yeah, give me that.
Okay, yeah.
Give me that.
So hopefully
well, how much
forget-
did they really try to run? You know
I don't
what
know,
I mean?
Like,
they had 35 rushes, but.
All the games from week one are on YouTube, so maybe you know, when I'm bored over the next couple of days, I'll see how North Carolina lost that game. But from what I understand, it was a dogfight to the end. But
y'all heard who the honorary team captain for Carolina
is? The ceiling is the roof in here.
The crying TV. Jordan.
Michael Jordan.
The crying man from the internet.
Apparently the helmet is going to be
the jump man logo.
The jump man logo.
So I was really hoping they wouldn't do that, and they're going to do that.
They're going to do that,
so
and it's going to be for the Louisville game.
The ceiling is the roof.
And I think part of it is it's the beginning of the recruitment for Lamar Jackson to be on the Jumpman brand. You know, because serious, like they kind of want to do like a big thing, and yeah, you can do the Lamar meet the Lamar leap
okay.
as the as the football logo.
Oh, U of L better adopt that when he immediately leaves. Like immediately. We were making that our emblem.
Yeah,
it has to be like
pay us if you want the jump man.
Yes, have the hurdle man.
You know, Jordan. They've already been pitched to Jordan, like the jump man for football, and it's just like
the hurdle man.
The hurdle man, yeah.
The Lamar Leap. But I mean, if you're like a shoe company, if you're Adidas or Nike or
Big Ballers
Jumper or I don't know, Under Armour, not that. Jesus.
They're selling, man.
Even
catch the fever.
So even care. Reebok, like, I mean, isn't Lamar Jackson like a super marketable player? I mean,
yeah. Well, Reebok's out of the game, basically.
They are.
Yeah. I know, but I'm just
no. I was just letting you know.
Yeah, like, I mean, you know, shoe companies.
Like Reebok got as good a chance as ASIC.
ASIC.
LA Lights.
You know,
bro.
But
New Balance.
No, I'd honestly, man, I'd like to see him at Adidas. because I've always been a Nike guy, but Adidas is really winning me over.
Oh, yeah. I've always liked Adidas for several reasons. One of them, when they had the two Louisville zip-up throwbacks I've got with the old leaf emblem for the zipper. Yeah.
Well,
two of my
favorite
things
I
own. Like, but their apparel's getting much better.
I'm pumped that my shoes last longer than 2 months. Like, when I buy a pair of Nikes, like, okay, these are trash. I'll cut the grass in these. Like, you know.
Three-stripe life.
It's pretty nice when you can, like, wear it for a while.
I'm a fan of the Adidas.
Yeah, I'm a fan, too. I'm getting there. I mean, like, I follow VJ King on Snapchat and everything else, and he posts his shoes every day that he goes to prices in, like, a new pair. But
in the commercials, man. I mean, like, every Adidas wasn't cool when I was a kid unless you played soccer. If you played soccer, Adidas was your stuff.
Yeah.
At least, you know, for my high school. And then in college still, it was even like...
Or if you were a member of Run DMC.
Adidas.
Shell toes.
Mm-hmm.
Sucks that we have Adidas.
But you're seeing the commercials now. They're wearing Louisville apparel in all the commercials now.
Dude, that commercial that was like around... And the college team that was featured in that commercial was Louisville three times.
Yeah.
The weight room. And like, it was just like...
football, yeah.
Dude, we're the featured college team, period.
It's right. Louisville's in a commercial with James Harden, a rapper that I didn't recognize. See, that's where Adidas really stepped their game up, man. They were so smart for dropping the bag off with Kanye.
Yeah.
Because say whatever you want about Kanye, kids think he's cool.
Yeah.
And so he comes out with...
Yeezys have juice.
Yeezys basically ripped off the Nike Roche, but who cares? They made it a doper version of the Nike Roche. And then you got... Adidas was smart to go back to their roots of, like, how did we blow up in the United States the first time? Oh, Run DMC.
Run DMC.
Yeah.
Kanye's in on us. Now let's get other rappers in on it, and let's, like... They're doing what ESPN tries to do of blending pop culture and sports, and they're a product, and they're like a brand, not
a Adidas
television station.
Has always ran it overseas. They do incredible with soccer, you know, international football, and with like kind of another kind of inroads they made was when the skater culture went a little more multicultural, you know, about 15 years ago, 10 years ago with Lupe and all that stuff. There was a lot of Adidas in that style. Kind of made inroads that way. I saw it kind of spread in there, and then the international soccer, they've always owned that market.
Right.
So they brought it over here. They signed Harden, have a couple of big names in basketball.
Wiggins and Bede.
There you go.
Yeah. So Vic Wharton III is a receiver for the Cal Bears, and he is 5'11", 200 pounds, and he had 156 yards. Receiving against the North Carolina Tar Heels, and just for
5'11", 200 pounds means he's a tree stomp.
Mm-hmm.
That's over 50%.
Sure, he's not a running back.
No, he's a wide receiver. That's over 50% of what he hauled in all last year. So you should be able to get some stuff going through the air here.
Shout out to Trevion Samuel, who actually has some big catches that I put in. You know,
well, I think Dez Fitzpatrick, Seth Dawkins probably have big games.
Fitzgerald.
Yeah,
you got to.
Dude, I mean, Dez looked so good on Saturday.
He did. Dez
was looking like another great wide receiver whose last name starts with Fitz. I mean, he's just out there giving him fits in the seam, man. Like,
I read a story on him today about how he looks at the ball. He's like, everything slows down, and he just like he gets these wide eyes when he sees it coming. I'm just like, all right, cool.
Wow,
that's dope. But I really wanted more from Jalen Smith the other day, man.
Damn it!
We have a receiver that can slow down time.
Yeah, I'm just
I'll
take him. He's wanted, like the wanted dude. Like, everything just stops.
Des Fitzpatrick is a time lord. That's cool. Is that what I'm hearing?
I want more from Jalen Smith, man, the other night. But I think they were targeting him, and you wanted Seth Dawkins, who had some big catches. I mean, the tight end game didn't really get a lot of exposure either, man. Mickey Crumb did kill a guy.
He killed a dude.
He did kill a guy.
As he is one to do.
As I call him, little shocky.
Baby shock.
Stanberry dropped another ball. Jordan Davis did catch a ball and for a touchdown.
Hey, how awesome was the touchdown to him? Who else was like, I remember LaForest to Barnage bootleg.
Dude.
Oh, yeah.
Where you drag nobody had Jordan Davis
nobody.
In there.
I just knew it was Crumb. He had two options. He could have threw it anywhere he wanted. So I'm just like, well, it's a touchdown regardless.
Either way. Well, it's nice to see them drive the field on the open. I know that they fumbled the ball. But if you can fix the fumbles, God damn.
Yeah.
How good would this team be? I feel like if you stop the fumbling,
as these red Mike and Ikes.
That's right. Mm-hmm. But I feel like if you stop the fumbles,
the goat one.
You're in position to do something in the college football playoff. Florida State loses DeAndre Francois
in
the Alabama game.
It does.
But let me tell you, man, Clemson. I know they were just playing Kent State. I get that.
Kelly Bryant looks good.
He looks awesome. Kelly Bryant looks amazing.
Yeah. Now, the thing with Florida State, I got to ask Jimbo. I don't know if he listens to the show or not. Maybe he doesn't.
Jimbo.
Jimbo, how do you not have your backup prepared? Like, the guy's only threw three passes his whole career at Florida State, and it's just like, he didn't really get in. He got in the spring game, and blah, blah, blah. I'm just like, but how do you not prepare to get him in the game?
Well, right. I figured that
I know Dave Langford at home is pissed off right now. Like,
Francois was took so many hits last year. Just figured exactly. He was superhuman.
And the Alabama game was no different. Like, he was.
Oh yeah, that's what I'm saying. He was like, he can
that's
handle.
Why,
it.
That's why I feel bad for that backup man, because he's like 6'5", 180.
They wanted
him to redshirt and put on weight, and he might die behind that line.
He's not made for this life, man.
Yeah, so after seeing that game, Lamar Jackson just declared for the NFL draft. So he doesn't have to play against Alabama next year, first game.
You know? I love the memes going around after that, whoever it was, Mandel? Somebody wrote, it was Mandel, that wrote the, why would anybody open the season against Alabama? Yeah, and all the blue fans like,
Rutherford's like, yeah, wonder why.
Yeah, who would do that?
It's the old Rodney King, like, grabbing the side of his collar.
Well, what about Rodney Dangerfield? You're going to have to play
King.
Alabama.
I'm like, what the hell? Rodney King was doing
that. Like, I think it was a different
somebody else pulled his collar.
Right. Oh, God.
Oh, man. Well, all what right. happens if they do win? What happens if a year from now we're sitting in this studio or a nicer studio or, you know, I don't know. We're like, doing satellite radio or we're at home.
Okay.
And
Or we've already broken up and there's the behind the music on the Crunch Zone.
Or the Crunch Zone doesn't even exist anymore. Joe's dead.
God, man, why do I have to be dead? I can't just be like...
He's a paraplegic.
It was the best of times. It was the worst
Joe's
of times.
Joe's taking shots out of a garbage bag.
Couldn't be me.
What happens if Louisville beats Alabama?
Like, that means Lamar came back for a senior year.
Lamar came back for his senior year, and none of us make it back from Orlando alive after that celebration.
I'm saying Lamar came back. Offensive line jailed. Like, they're all going to be seniors and juniors and sophomores next year. Your receiving core is going to be all seniors and juniors and sophomores next year. I mean, Louisville, if he comes back, Louisville can do some damage. Now, defense-wise, we're losing a lot.
Well, they're going to have the entire offensive line in front of them back from this year.
And the Heisman winner. Well, I'm going to go ahead and say maybe two-time Heisman winner.
Probably after one game, yeah.
But, if we win that game in Orlando, I'm going to die in the teacup ride at Disney World. He's going to find me.
Just put me at
Epcot Center.
Does the Disney World
drinking around the world
castle survive, or is it burned to the ground?
No, we burn it to the – we take that in Animal Kingdom.
Yeah.
And then
all
we
the
do,
giraffes are going
to
run
the worldwide of sports. We go there. And then we go to the what's it? The citrus? What's down there? Citrus Bowl? Or,
yeah, the Citrus Bowl.
Yeah, we go to the Citrus Bowl. Excuse me, the Buffalo Wild Wings Citrus Bowl. And we just stay there.
Yeah, screw them. They don't give us free chicken.
Mm-mm. We don't get free. Well, we actually do get free Mike and Ike's.
Well, Biscuit bought them.
Thanks,
so.
Biscuit.
Free to you guys from the bottom of my heart.
But anyway, I just think, let your imagination run wild, because I didn't think Louisville stood a chance against Miami in 2004. Going to that game, I think Miami was like, I want to say it was like 54-3 in its last like 57 games. Like, that's better than what Alabama is right now. Mm-hmm. And Louisville went in there in their home turf, and they almost beat the Hurricanes with a bunch of dudes that are still in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, 14. How many years?
13
years later. Help me with math, Dave. But
that's what I'm here for.
But basically, like that's incredible that Louisville was able to do that with, you know, Stephon LaForest and Tiger Jones.
And a freshman, Brian Brown.
Talking about Tiger Jones, man. Yeah, Tiger was sneaky.
But they had just gotten rid of Larry Coker. And who was
No, he was there.
He was their coach.
Was he their coach?
Yeah. They had just gotten rid of, Butch Davis.
He'd been gone a couple of years because Coker got
– It was Coker's first year.
Coker got that title.
It was his second
year. No, Coker got his second because Coker was coaching the team when McGahee's toe kicked his hip on the same leg.
The winner of 2001-2002, they won the national championship.
Yeah. It'd been a few years, but that team was rolling at the time. Miami was it in college football, just like Alabama's it now. And everybody's like, this is the biggest dynasty since we've ever seen. Well, no, I mean, Miami.
No, dude, that U, the early 2000 U, is we'll never see that again. The year
Sean
that they
Taylor
had 14.
Sean Taylor, that was
no,
the
he
predate.
Was, he would have been
that's
gone.
After Sean Taylor, yeah. Sean Taylor's already in the league at that point. But, like, Hester, Merriweather, those were
Gore.
Your safeties. And Gore, Olsen. I think Kellen Winslow has just left.
Yeah, he was.
So a lot of those.
But they went from Jeremy Shockey to Kellen Winslow to Olsen.
That's not even fair.
Right.
And at safety, they went from Ed Reed to Sean Taylor to Merriweather. Merriweather was nice in college. Well,
until Uridia owned him hard.
Oh,
harder
yeah.
than anybody's ever been owned on the football field.
Oh, was that the stiff arm guy?
Yeah, stiff arm for like 20 yards.
Yeah.
Still running down the field. Yeah. Oh, no,
just
see him
go like this with his arms. And he's like, come on,
dude,
man.
The poor guy looked like he was drowning.
Dude, I just remember being at that game, and I remember like everybody in the stands was doing this.
Yeah.
Like, they can't see me on the damn podcast, but everybody had like the arms extended, like doing stiff arm. I'm just like, this is going to be a good day.
That's basically what Mario Uridia did is what I do when I walk into Kroger or Walmart and there's Boy Scouts trying to sell me crappy popcorn. I'm like, get out of here and
excuse
let
me
know
sir?
When your sister has the cookies.
Would you like to? I do the Dave Chappelle when he walks to the club slow motion, just like, most of the chick watch him.
No, but on that team, I mean, I just looked it up. It's Frank Gore, Devin Hester. We're talking about Lance Leggett.
Good. Now
Sonoris Moss. Tyrone Moss is another Moss there. Greg Olson, Roscoe Parrish, John Petty. I'm just reading these names. There's Eric Winston was offensive lineman on that team. Kyle Wright was the damn quarterback. He's the worst freaking quarterback they probably had in a long time. But
I don't know that he was worse than Dorsey. Dorsey just got to throw
the
ball.
Yeah, but Dorsey got to go play in the NFL.
Entrell Roll. I mean, let's get real. I mean, that team was absolutely loaded.
I think he just retired.
And Louisville almost beat. Yeah, he did. And he was a senior on that team. But, like, that Miami team was absolutely loaded. Everybody I just mentioned there is a multi-year, multi-contract NFL player.
Yeah.
That's sick, you know, that they had that talent. And that Louisville with Stephon LaFours and Tiger Jones almost took them out.
They, like, play-actioned them to death the entire game. It was, like, play-action to the bootleg to the left. We're going to run this.
Right.
It was, like, 24-7 before you can even blink. I remember Tarico was just like, this
What's
is Miami.
Happening?
This is Miami at home. And Louisville's coming in here from – Commerce
USA.
It's the last time I remember us, well, other than Clemson last year, really. We jumped up in the rankings after we lost that game.
That's the only time I've ever seen that ever happen. You lose and you move
I also
up.
Tried to chop down a tree on a Greek row at U of L using a folding chair after that game.
That'll happen.
That'll do it to you.
That'll happen.
But anyway, so like, you know.
It's
like
the damnedest thing.
Yeah. I guess my point is that Louisville's a Kerry Rhodes drop, a Brent Moody punt out of bounds.
Let my man Kerry live.
A stop on Frank Gore in the fourth down. Like away from any one of those three things happen, and they win.
Kerry and William Gay are two people that are remembered for one play more than anybody else.
And William Gay's won two Super Bowls. And he's just like
it'd been despite what anybody thinks, he's been a 10-year NFL starter,
and he hadn't missed a game.
Yeah, and every time they try to draft somebody to replace him, either they're bad at drafting or he's just good enough to keep his spot.
He was in Arizona 1 year,
and they were like, "Oh,
we gotta get Will Gay back.
We've lost our mojo. Get Will Gay back.
The way get Will Gay onside."
When he was in the first time they won the Super Bowl and he was up on the podium during
the Lil Jon chant.
Pittsburgh just won the Super Bowl. Here we go. Yeah.
Man. Everybody's just like,
who is this guy? Like, Louisville's own.
Okay.
Slow clap.
All right. Take the mic from him. Mr. Moody, take the mic from him. But when you see, like you said, man, when you say his name, it's just like, oh, man, Super Bowl. But had he stayed on sides in the Rutgers game.
Poor guy, because like both of them, we wouldn't have been where we were without him in either of those seasons.
People
fail
to realize, man, Louisville was up 25-7 at halftime of that game. They were up 25-7
and then
the game.
We got cute.
And then Ray Rice just came. And
Ray Rice went nuts.
We got cute with the play calling, too. We did.
Yeah, Bobby, again, probably should not have been throwing the ball.
Off tackle was good for like 7 yards a pop that game. I remember it didn't matter if it was left or right.
So let me ask you a question, because this always comes when I get pissed off when it does. Everybody's like, well, if Mike Bush would have been healthy, we'd go to the national championship. Do you think Mike Bush would have been able to do anything in that Rutgers, against that Rutgers defense? Because Bresciano had those guys, like, dialed in the second half.
He did, but I think,
We stopped running off tackle.
Potentially, number one, I think Louisville probably would have got more in the first half. It would have been a deeper hole. Mm-hmm. But in the second half, if you just started up 25-7,
right,
you get a couple more first downs. I have to think Michael Bush would be worth a few more first downs if he doesn't score in that game, because Colby took a lion's share of the business.
Mm-hmm.
And
Anthony Anderson was there, too.
Well, this took a depressing
Anthony Allen.
Turn.
Sorry, Anthony Allen was there.
Not Anthony Anderson. Not the guy from Blackish. Anthony Allen.
Anthony Allen.
Baby Bush.
So Anthony Allen just hadn't done, I don't know, enough. I don't know if he developed enough trust to be put in that spot. You
Fuck
know what
off,
I'm saying?
Dave.
Let's burn this bitch down, Pookie.
It's all right. But no, I just don't think Anthony Allen had done enough in his freshman year to really develop enough trust That's with true. Petrino to kind of get put in that spot. So, yeah, I think Mike Bush would have helped for
sure.
I
remember we were just throwing it to George Stripling on these, like, little dump-out passes.
It didn't make any sense.
George Stripling.
What are we doing?
Yeah,
it George can sense. Run, bro.
Yeah, man, but even still, you are up 25-7. You got to put your foot on their neck and press down.
Yep, you got to win.
Texas A&M's SB Nation blog, Good Bull Hunting, put out a one of those flow chart, you know, like, choose your destiny. I don't know what they're called, but it's like if you answer the question yes, you go to this column. If you answer it,
yeah, choose your adventure.
So it's choose your adventure. They did a choose your adventure for that game they blew. And I want to talk about the opening weekend of football, football being the best opening weekend ever, maybe,
mm-hmm.
or at least the most entertaining. So it says up 35. Do you run the ball or throw? If you click run, it just takes you to a link that it's like flashing. Congrats. You didn't blow a 35-point lead. If you throw the ball, it says it takes you to one that flashes, go back, rethink this.
Well, they couldn't still use, you know, they run that hurry-up offense all the time. You know what I mean? They're hustling to the line, not burning any clock, throwing the ball around. So, at some point, Kevin Sumlin says, look at his offensive coordinator and say, tap the brakes, period.
So Sunday, I was watching that game, the A&M-UCLA game. And in the first half, I tweeted out, y'all are missing out on, like, a great comedy of errors if you're not watching it. Like, I know West Virginia, yes. Virginia Tech is a good, tight game, but this is an entertaining, awful game. Dave just showing us the Gronk spike.
Yeah,
on
I've been
Joe
watching
Hayden's
it, like, all
day. Watch him just go limp. But
Joe Hayden's not even on the Browns anymore.
Right. So I'm sitting there watching it in the first half, and I'm just like, wow, man, these guys are awful. And then make fun of me if you will, but one of my guilty pleasure trash TV shows I know is awful, but I watched it anyway. Flipped it over to Ballers for 30 minutes.
I watch it too.
Ballers went off. I flip it back over. It's a 14-point game.
Yeah.
Like, what is this tomfoolery?
I was like, 31-44. Wait a minute. What happened?
And then the next night we get Tennessee-Georgia Tech.
I was playing Cards of the Boat during that UCLA comeback, and I was just there going,
well, thanks for the invite, Dave.
I'm sorry, man. I didn't know you get down like that.
I got distracted by Tennessee with a trash can on their sidelines, passing the trash can around for the players, and it just instantly became an internet sensation, and Twitter was just
good,
like,
old Rocky Top.
Yeah, I thought Butch Jones was fired.
Butch Jones.
I thought Jamora was fired.
Butch Jones can't stop losing.
I think
takes L's
still
left and
right.
Right,
yeah, I think they're both going to end up still
is
fired.
Is that what the trophy for the championship of life looks like?
End up in trash.
Big-ass trash.
Put it all in
can.
There. Put your emotions, your attitude. We put it all in the trash. I'm sitting here like, they're serious.
Put your ability to win. Put your tackling. Put it all in here. We're just going to throw it over the side.
They stole Damian Lee and Trey Lewis's chant. Like, who's got my back? Yeah. They're doing that in the freaking locker room. Like, y'all stole that. Was from 2 years ago, basketball.
Nobody
y'all
believes
don't
it.
Get that.
You, don't get, to, you don't get to do that shit unless you have a postseason ban. All right. So kiss my ass.
Everybody was asking about the trash can, and I'm like, your team has a playbook too. Leave Tennessee alone.
Tennessee, man.
This is our new starting left guard here. Somebody take him. Somebody.
I like how they also hold it up. So apparently if the defense gets a turnover, they come and they dunk it. But the jerk holding it, like, he totally did it on purpose. When the kid jumped to dunk the ball, he raised it.
The guy gets hung on the damn trash can.
I'm wanting to see. Somebody's going to tear their ACL trying to dunk into this trash can. And that will be what makes a region at UT.
Tennessee's trash can and A&M's pimp cane, they can go on somewhere because they
How
were
dumb
awful.
Do you have to feel, though, because A&M's strutting up the sideline with that pimp cane, and then
you saw the tweet, right?
You see Josh Rosen is just like, okay.
Did you see the tweet from the linebacker?
Tweet.
He manually retweeted the A&M picture where the guy's got the pimp cane. He goes, how'd that work out for you?
Oh, yeah. The gift of the dude.
Yeah, but did you see the Miami's got the big, thick gold chain that he put on the defensive player?
No.
That's so
Miami
awesome.
Does that.
I heard about it. I didn't see it,
you
though.
You can look it up right now. It's got a big gold, like, Run DMC chain that he puts on the defensive player that's hanging with the, like, a diamond encrusted U on it or something like that, but it looks like glitter to me. But anyway,
it was made at Hobby Lobby.
Speaking of the Chick-fil-A Classic, you made a good point that I was going to ask you, man. Do you think I think Louisville's going to open that Monday night game, that Labor Day game?
They already said they are
was it three different days?
It's Saturday,
or Monday?
Yeah, the Chick-fil-A. You talking about with Ole Miss?
Ole Miss and
Ole Miss has either Saturday or Sunday.
Yeah.
It's already on their schedule. It says Saturday or Sunday. Monday's not an option.
Plus, they're going to be on probation by then.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
We're coming off of it by the time we get to the
we'll be there Saturday or Sunday.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. I'll take that.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm excited about that game, but, you know, Louisville's upcoming openers are crazy with
Dame.
Alabama next year, Notre Dame the year after. There's a gap, and then there's Ole Miss. I don't know what's in the gap. Is that the Indiana game?
Indiana, like, State or something is the game.
Well, we bought out Indiana State to –
I know we got Indiana in there somewhere. I don't know.
Indiana, we play. We have a
I don't know if it's an opener, though. I think it could be like one of those like third or fourth.
When do we start
games.
Playing Western?
Next year.
Yeah, we play them. We do like a Nashville and then a return in Louisville. Yeah. So I don't exactly know when that happens. But
Western's on the schedule next year.
Yeah. They but opener-wise.
Yeah.
I'll be going to Nashville next year then.
So, but opener-wise, Louisville's got it down over the next couple of years, and it's really exciting. You know, I'm excited about going down to Orlando. I'm excited about opening up, you know, Cardinal Stadium. Well, I guess it'll be open already a full year because next year, but like having that opener on a Monday night because that Louisville plays Monday night football, it's going to be awesome. I just can't wait for that. So, and I'm pumped. You know, give me all those games.
The only problem, though, man, that's how I remember a couple years ago, the ACC opener against Miami.
Yeah.
It's actually horrible. Like, it's actually really bad to play a night game on a Monday. Because you wish your whole Labor Day weekend away.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the negative to
that
it.
That Tuesday was a struggle, man. That next day after Miami.
Oh, this town was dead.
All the emotions to go into. I'm like going to work the next day. Then the whole week was just kind of just like.
I had to wake up for work at 4 in the morning.
And we play on Saturday again, too? We play Saturday? Okay, cool.
Gross.
It was gross.
I mean, I kind of like the Monday thing because then I can watch Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday games, and then Louisville's games, the only one on Monday. Give me
you work on the interwebs, all right? So you don't have to go into offices and such, see people.
True, true. So yeah, we can play Monday night, and then I'm ready to go. I just got to roll out of bed, and I'm at my office, you know. So it's nice.
And your work pants. See, I'm wearing wingtips right now. I mean, I had to go to work and dress like a person.
Yeah, I wore sweatpants for most of the day today. And then I decided to put on actual clothes and go to lunch. So, yeah, you know, I am a little different.
Where'd you go to lunch?
Actually, went to Hooters today.
Nice. He's living your best life over there, Mark. I see you.
I was disappointed that they've changed their lunch special from a 10-piece with fries to a 6-piece with fries.
Yeah.
You got to pay for all that remodeling.
Still the same price.
Isn't it all you can eat wings on Wednesday night? Maybe I'm going to go live my best life.
Oh, wait.
This is a lunch.
It's either Wednesday or Monday. So,
it was Monday. It was Wednesday. Situation. I don't know Wednesday if they the lunch, but they only gave me 6. And I was.
Because I can still get, like, I can still get with their. Sometimes you just want fried wings with buffalo sauce. Like, you don't get that everywhere. And I'll go get that and do that.
So anyway,
all you can eat.
So
I
this
like
week,
the curly fries.
Oh, I do.
So this week we play Carolina, man, and it's kind of hard to get a feel for what they're going to do or what they're going to be. They've lost Mitch Trubisky. They've lost a lot of their offense, to be honest with you. And their defense wasn't very good either. And so what do we expect? What do you want to see from Louisville this week? And, yeah. All right, so what do you want to see, you know?
I just want to see the offense work like a capable unit like we know they are. Like I said, I tweeted out. I try to watch what I tweet now because, you know, a lot of people like, you know, screenshots last forever. You can delete all you want, but screenshots last forever. But I put on there, it sucks because we know Louisville's better than this. And we know Louisville can put up points in a hurry and we can put up points when we want to.
Sure.
But it was just frustrating on Saturday night. But I think after you got to watch film with Bobby Petrino on Sunday – on Monday or whatever it was at 6:30, he wakes him up to watch film, and then you're getting yelled at the entire time in practice. I just think that this team will come out more focused. The offensive line will come up with a point to prove. The defense will come up with a point to prove. You know, Stacey Thomas got a pick 6. Good for him. And, you know, Trevon Young looked like he just had never even left.
Bro, how awesome was it?
About Trevon Young.
How awesome was it on the very first play to see him get up and make that deflection, and it's like,
yeah,
good. Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I thought he did really well the whole game.
Oh, no, he did. But I was just saying, like, the opening play, we get to see the guy who had this horrible injury, and we're like.
Yeah. And then you look up, and you didn't even hear James Hearns' name. That's something just like, he's still there. It's like all these guys are still there ready to contribute. Yeah, so
Jimmy Hearns looked like beast mode Drake.
Well, he was getting double teamed the whole night.
Yeah.
He was getting double teamed, chipped on. They were sending him the running back to his side the whole time. It opened things up for Trevon Young, but. Trevon Young took advantage. I mean, he should have had that pick but he had two pass breakups, three quarterback hurries, sack and a half. I thought he was awesome all game.
You know who else had a big
Thomas
game?
Was great. I know he you was. Just mentioned him, but like it wasn't just that pick six. He was
great.
He made some sideline plays.
And he was sack too.
You know who else
had
a big game? GG.
Oh, I was gonna. That's for sure. I talked extensively on Monday with Mark about how GG Robinson played like a man.
He was in
the
backfield.
I was so concerned
game.
With that team. Well, you know the one that impressed me the most, the screen that he sniffed out.
Yeah,
I mean. You don't expect young guys to make a play like that. You expect them to go, yeah, that's where you get thrown over the top a couple times and you learn. But he was on it. He sniffed it out. And the other thing that I liked is we had like four guys over there. Like the
said,
whole team knew.
So put the team is run. They're running to the ball. They're gang tackling now.
Yeah, we're killer bees.
Because now, I mean, not no shot at the other guy, but like the last 3 years has been like, okay, he's got him. All right, cool. Get him down. Okay, he breaks off another 5 yards. It's like, oh, I thought you had him. So now everybody's going. So Sermon, I mean, I know it wasn't his best game, but he did coach a good defensive game.
I liked it. And really, like, Trayshawn Smith,
mm-hmm.
Dorian Etheridge, the young kids that got in there, I thought they did really,
Bernard
really well.
Smith looked good.
Made a couple plays.
Yeah, but Dorian Etheridge had a pass breakup on the yep. sideline. Trayshawn Smith, his first defensive series.
Gets an interception.
Gets a pick. I'm like, okay, well, he needs to be in there more. But, like, you know, also London Iapoco checks in, does really well. He comes off an injury he suffered against Marshall.
Yep.
So it's nice to see guys kind of do well. I didn't have any gripes with the defense except for just a couple, handful, like, misplays. I will say the one thing. They had trouble with the tight end again. You know, they really, like, when Purdue wanted to go to the tight end was there for them.
It was there.
And I'd like to see a little bit more emphasis on that this coming week because, you know, that's the Stars' responsibility. Kane pass and he need well and you know just generally speaking not every play but I'd like to see them really work on that and not give up so much of the middle of the field.
Yeah, and also shout out to I'm gonna call him Zy, but everybody calls him Zach. Zach Cannon, big game. Like I mean it's a lot of stuff that I went back and
always
watched it
quiet.
I'm just like, dude, it was a quiet 9 tackles that he had in that game and he like really had a good game.
The second half they called his name a lot.
Yeah,
lot.
Well, I thought like we said before, the defense stepped up when Louisville needed to. For me, I don't expect them to go to 16-0 penalties.
No.
I want to see them get about 7, 8, 9, somewhere in there. That would be good.
Yeah, don't go double figures and limit your false starts to 3 or 4, and I'll be happy.
I can see 2 or 3 false starts in this game. I mean, it's not going to get cleaned up in a week.
I want to see 0 fumbles. I'll just be honest with you.
Yeah,
I'm tired of seeing fumbles. And I think, you know, in terms of, like, mental, like just being how sharp and focused you are. I mean, I understand fumbles will happen, but Louisville's had too many too often for like the past 3 years. So for me, I'm done with the fumbles.
Oh, yeah. Go back to the program. Go back to the program. Hold that ball. Carry it everywhere. If somebody else brings it,
yeah.
Dude, I mean, high and tight. You know what I mean? Like high and tight. Like
I can't imagine the doghouse Jeremy's in. I mean, again, we talked the first one. Man. The first one wasn't on him, but the second one clearly was, and that's. Unfortunately, been the story of Jeremy his entire career.
Just fumbles at the wrong time.
Well, I remember even
and they overshadow any good plays that he has.
In spring practice, you know, they had a handful of them that were open this year and were able to go, and they're in non-contact stuff, and he fumbled. And I looked at Petrino right away, and Petrino just like walked away with like indignation, like here we go again. And like if I'm Bobby Petrino, the question is, can I trust this guy to continue to run my football if this is what he is? And I think at some point we have to just accept that and say, Jeremy, you're a great runner. You can run, but, like, can you hang on to the football?
Because he's a bruiser.
That's gonna be ultimately what stops him from this being the final year of football in his life or if he wants to play next year, because right now there's too much tape of him putting the ball on the ground. There's way too much, and I hate that. I wish it wasn't the case, but, like, if you're going to go and get an NFL check – you can't reason your way away from fumbles.
Because you know pro day is going to be like, well, you dropped the fumble ball a lot here.
Yeah.
Is something with your arm? Security? Let's see how you carry the ball.
You got small hands? What's the deal?
I just don't understand. Like, he's a big guy. Like, he looks like he carries close to his body. I mean, high and tight. But I don't know, man. I really don't.
The ball pops out for Jeremy Smith way more than it does an average player. And that's just not going to get you into the next level. And it could get you the Dominic Brown treatment, you know.
Yeah.
You really could end up –
somebody get him in touch with Tiki Barber. Because Tickey used to have the fumbles, and he got it under wraps.
Like Mike Hart from Michigan, he fumbled one time his whole career in Michigan.
I had forgotten about that.
Mike Hart never fumbled. So I mean, Brandon Radcliffe, for what it's worth, he never really fumbled a whole lot.
No. You need reliable guys. As much as you need dynamic runners, you also need reliability. And, and it's great that you can reliably get yards, but can you reliably get back into the huddle and still have possession? You know, that's a start. And so that for me, I want to see no more fumbles, half the penalties, and I think Louisville will roll.
Yeah. Send to Petrino. I mean, Patino. You know, Patino's all like, he needs to get stronger hands. He needs to get stronger in the post with the ball. That's how he's talked about Honest for the last three, 4 years. He needs to get stronger in the post, want to the ball more.
Well, speaking of basketball, Rick Pitino will have a press conference on Thursday. So depending on what time on Thursday you listen to this or if you listen on Friday, the basketball schedule will either be coming or already out.
Finally.
Naming captains, too.
The naming of captains. So
who do you think is going to be the captains?
Quentin Snyder.
It's got to be Q and Dang.
And I think a lot of people are saying Honest, but I'm going Ray. Because just all the word on what a great offseason he had and how it looks like according to Luke, it's all starting to come together for Ray.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's figuring it
out. I believe if that happens, it's scary for the rest of the country. Because
if
Ray becomes what Ray can be, then
I know. It's over.
Just see him on the court sometimes with Malik.
we need to book travel to San Antonio.
Let's go ahead and do it now.
I think they're all on the warpath. Rick is on the warpath.
This is
going to
be
a
Brady Belichick type season.
I really feel like we should be the favorite to win the national championship this year, and that's without seeing sight unseen on this team.
The last time we saw a pissed off Rick, we were going to cut down nets.
It's okay if we're not. But I'm saying, in my mind,
Duke's really talented.
Down nets.
Duke's incredibly talented.
But we got pissed off Rick, and you can tell Rick is pissed off by the way he talks and the way he's just like, you know, we got a good
he's
team.
He's like, I'm replacing that banner.
If we,
he's just like,
take it. We don't give a damn.
Whatever you want to do, we're going to have another banner up there. So
that's the old one.
Ass.
That's the old one.
Why are you talking about old shit? I got a new banner.
It's like Nick Saban. He had I forget which recruit it was.
He might mess around and win two banners. You know what I mean? Like, he might I'm not trying to get ahead of myself. We might lose in the first weekend. You know what I'm saying? But I'm just like, Sensei that's tournament. The type of team we could have this season where it's
just really scary that arguably the most talented roster he's had since he's come to Louisville, and he's got a chip on his shoulder.
Oh, yeah.
Right. But no,
and he's got a senior point guard from the city of Louisville.
Mm-hmm. For sure. But no, Nick Saban's hosting a recruit, and he hands the crystal ball, okay, they won a BCS national championship to the player's father to hold. The player's father fumbles the crystal ball. It shatters everywhere. Nick Saban looks at him and goes, we'll get another one.
Unbelievable.
And, you know, hopefully that's what Louisville can do with this banner. Hopefully they keep the banner number
one. Yeah, I mean, I don't want – that banner means a lot to me.
I can tell you this, guys.
But, you know.
Start the GoFundMe to either get me out or to pad my commissary. Because they ain't getting that banner.
Kiss
I'm going to get it
I'm
first.
I'm going to be in the car with you.
Biscuit's my AC. I'm going to OJ that bitch.
Damn it, I'm AC.
And I am going to be – I'm going to be in the backseat of a Bronco, and there's going to be – WHAS will be following us on the waters and talking about this high-speed chase with TBG.
You'll be going over Second Street Bridge with it just flapping in the wind.
Christmas!
We're going to go deliver this to the NCAA right now. Like, you know, I don't know, man.
You see all the pictures everybody was taking from the headquarters and the IB chain, like, giving the middle finger up there.
Just the middle finger. I mean, they deserve it, to be honest with you. And
I kind of think, man, I'm getting the feeling that we're going to be all right, but I don't know.
I'm not giving myself any kind of hope.
I try to be optimistic.
If we keep them, awesome.
What if we just tell them no?
Yeah, you can't come get it. Like,
I think it was great because
come pride out of my cold.
Like, are you honestly gonna say we don't get to play next year? Well, what are you gonna say?
There was this whole thing, and when they handed down the punishment, that said that Louisville needed to identify the players that participated in which games they participated, and then Louisville came back and said, "Fuck you, no, you name them if you think that." And I think that's what you should do, because what they're doing by having Louisville announce the names is giving Louisville the liability. And if I'm University of Louisville, I'm giving them the double-barreled middle finger.
Oh, at this point,
I'm saying you can suck my dick, and if I'm going to name these fucking players, if fuck you. Come get my fucking banner, and I'm not giving you any of these goddamn names.
The views of Mark Blinkenbaker.
Yeah. And that concludes Deep Thoughts with U of L Sheriff.
Yeah.
You gotta understand how much it takes to get Mark to where he was just at.
Yeah,
right?
Dude,
he really is not happy with the
UNC.
Guys, I'm sitting here like, well, now that I co-host with Mark, I should probably keep the F-bombs to a minimum. Yeah. And Mark just used up our whole... You're like
the whole allotment of F-bombs. I had one earlier, and when I was going to say pump the fucking brakes, I was like, pump the brakes, you know?
The behind the podcast. You know, this one night we were in the studio.
Just pump the flipping brakes now. You silly goose. Get in there. Just, you know.
Wow.
Simmer down, Biscuit. Simmer down.
I'm just hot as can be.
Right. Firecracker, you.
Well, but this is the last podcast of the year. It's nice working with all of you.
Y'all want the names? Y'all name them. Yeah,
seriously, though. Yeah. We see how much working with... This is the bottom line. There won't be another university that cooperates.
Nope.
Nor should there be.
North Carolina was just like, we'll get to it when we get to it. Yeah. We got championships.
North Carolina skating boys.
Yeah, we cooperated. And they said, thank you very much. Now sit in the chair. Stalkers. You know?
I can't believe that we ain't coming up.
We out here. You want to?
I think it was you that tweeted it. You was just like, I can't believe that we sacrificed Damian Lee and Trey Lewis and still got screwed in the end.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That just sucks.
Should have just played it.
I've always said it, man. Should have just played it.
As a result, financially, we're looking at six different, maybe five only, but NCAA tournament revenue years that they're going to miss out on as a result of this. And I'm thinking, what is the punishment if they're on probation? Because this is like a probationary type punishment, because it just doesn't make sense. The financial fine that the university is going to have to take, the banner that it's going to take, the PR, and on a whole other note, you know, I have a whole other thought on the PR front, but like it's just a huge hit because I think Louisville's just an easy target.
Yeah.
For example, okay, ESPN, the night after Lamar Jackson wins the Heisman Trophy, on the night. You know, James Hearn, Henry Fairman, where I get shot. Mm-hmm. Well, on the bottom line that entire day, right after Lamar wins the Heisman, it runs in the bottom line, gunshot wound, the will miss Citrus Bowl. On the bottom line, this week, opening week, Alabama, Florida State, how many times did you see Alabama defensive tackle questionable gunshot wound?
Not once.
Did you see it at all?
No.
It's easy. We have. There's a narrative around our university in the last 2 years, all right. And there's a narrative that they're. I'm not saying that some of it wasn't brought on by our own actions.
No, but then you got some.
But
asshole
the reality is, you got. I don't want to get into the whole thing.
You got some asshole from SI talking about the culture for women at the University of Louisville
is just dangerous. I'm sitting here like, what the hell?
But
Oh, below it was an ad for the swimsuit issue, by the way.
Yeah, and also that was one talk, and it was like. To the student athletes, and she took her a half hour talk, and she extrapolated an entire attitude about women, and then without looking back, say we fund women's sports better than anybody else in the country.
It's a pile on, man. I mean, you hope for the best, but then in the back of my mind, it's like
it's frustrating when people talk about it that don't know anything about the actual culture inside the athletic department. Oh, you know, it's all about appearances
down the road. Yeah. Shout out to everybody in the state. Like the Purdue fans that were heckling. We'll get to that later. I'm not going to ruin that.
Actually, let's get to it. Because I think we wrapped this up. Yeah. But like, I think we want to hear.
Are you rolling into Dudes Talking?
Yeah, let's just do Dudes Talking.
That was a soft play action to do. You see that? Like a naked bootleg.
Do you want to talk about how what our predictions for North Carolina before we do that?
Yeah, let's do. Okay, predictions. And then, Dave, you do the sound effect for Dudes Talking.
I can't do that again. That was a one-time deal.
Dudes Talking.
I can't do that woman's
voice
again.
I think Louisville's going to win about 42-17. I really believe that they're going to go off on this game. And I don't think Carolina's got anything offensively to really do. I don't even think they have a quarterback close to what Purdue had. So I'm going to go 42-17. I'll just get mine out there first. Joe, what you got, man?
49-17.
All right, so you just added a touchdown?
Because I was going to say 42.
The Price is Right.
You could have said 43.
Yeah.
Or 41. Missed the extra point or something.
Two field goals. We want perfection.
LJ?
I jinx it whenever I pick Louisville to win. So I always say someone's going to win. I'm going to go 28-24. I don't think it's going to be. Matter of fact,
someone wins.
24-21. It's not going to be as nice as we think it's going to be. And plus, I'm thinking Irma might have some. It might be raining on Saturday. I'm thinking.
Right now, high pressure should dominate the North Carolina region. So
what the hell?
All right, buddy.
Okay, Fred Wishy just walked in there. John Bilski's on the damn air. Okay. No, but I think 24-21. Someone will win 24-21.
There we go. All right, Biscuit.
41-10.
41-10. I like that.
Okay. I feel like an idiot after last week's predictions.
Yeah, me too.
And saying it again, but it's faith in the fact that we're gonna correct a few things, and I very unimpressed with North Carolina's quarterback situation. I don't think they have the weapons to challenge us in the ways they need to challenge us on defense.
Real quick, with before that, we go on, do we get game day?
Do we get game day? I think that they will, because
we
think
should.
Clemson
the radio show came here for whatever the hell that is. I didn't even know they had one.
Yeah, I've heard it a few
times. I think Clemson beats Auburn
at 6:80 in the morning.
Clemson's going to destroy Auburn.
I think they're going to beat Auburn, and I think Louisville's obviously going to beat North Carolina. The question is, does it go to Florida State, Miami?
They're going to try to push that narrative of the U being back.
Is that game? I mean, is there going to be somewhere for them? I don't want to say that because I don't know.
No, that's a legit question.
Yeah, is it going to be somewhere for them to play?
Well, the game is in Tallahassee, which for by and large is going to be on the western half of the hurricane cone
right
now.
That's true.
So it could be raining, and they could get heavy rains and flood, but they're not going to take like the strong wind burst. I think it could be bad in Tallahassee. It's not going to be anywhere near what they have.
They might be taking refugees like crazy. They're kind of like Baton Rouge and Katina.
I guess the real question is, does Miami have time to prepare for the game?
They got this week off. They got their game canceled on Saturday, so wherever they're going to be preparing at,
I don't know. Where, you know, like Fats Domino was living in Jamarcus Russell's freaking apartment in 2005 during Katina.
But
you might have Pitbull living in freaking DeAndre Fonseca's.
Miami might have to go to Atlanta this weekend just
seriously
to practice. Seriously.
They might have to get out of there.
If that game's played in the state of Florida, I'm all for game day going there because the state of Florida deserves something.
Right.
Yeah, by the way, if you're a Cardinal fan and you're in Florida right now and you're listening to us, get the fuck out.
I got family in Tampa, and they said the expressways are just jam-packed because everybody from Miami, from southern Florida, is just coming up.
And I know it's not that easy, but everybody's just trying to get out of there, man. God bless. See what happened to Barbuda today. Just get out of there, man. Yeah, this one isn't no joke.
I think we'll get it.
Don't ride it out.
I got a good feeling that we'll get it.
I feel good about it.
National champion versus the return of Heisman.
Right. I feel like, you know, I don't know who's Miami have this week.
Nobody. They got it canceled. It was supposed to be
right.
It was supposed to be Arkansas State.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, Arkansas State. Yeah. And then FSU's playing who are they playing? They're playing like Louisiana Monroe.
Yeah.
So that game's not going to really be nothing's going to change in that game.
Miami was going to Arkansas State. So Arkansas State's over here just like
All
that money that we could have had.
And some jackwagon was on Twitter today who covers sports for Arkansas or something, or for the Post Gazette or some shit, right? And he was Ennis and him were going back and forth because he was basically like criticizing Miami for canceling the game. And it was such a bad look. I don't understand how somebody could possibly And the guy's like, dude, Miami players need to be back with their families.
Right.
This is a big situation. Like, well, don't they abandon their families every week to go to college? It was the dumbest shit I've ever read in my life.
Well, but there's not a hurricane every week.
Exactly. I mean, like, there's not.
What a fucking onion head.
Oh, I recommend just going back to look at it just to see the the genesis and the formation of one of the worst arguments I've ever seen in my life.
I guess a lot of these players' families could potentially be displaced and very hard to 50% reach.
50% of the team lives within 40 minutes of Miami.
But at the same time, I do see the argument of, hey, let's get out of here. Let's go to Arkansas, play this football game.
When your whole family is in Miami, they can't necessarily
get out.
So
exactly.
Come back and help them or do whatever you need to do when your family's in danger.
Yeah, sure. They can get out. They just can't
shouldn't
get
have to focus on a football game.
But you got to look at Louisville's. We got about, 11 guys from South Florida on our
bunch of guys. And like Lamar Jackson, Devontae Pete, they've been on Instagram kind of talking about how they're frankly distracted. And I think that it's rightfully that they should be, but they're going to prepare for a football game, go to Carolina. And I don't know if that'll weigh heavily around players throughout the country that come from the Miami area.
That's a valid question.
I think that it could because, I mean, Miami feeds a lot of different college football programs. Yeah. How will that affect kind of week two of college football? Because it will affect the psyche of the players. I just, you know, the whole state of Florida is going to be affected, not just Miami. I think it's something to watch.
Irma's the state of Ohio. It's the size bigger than the state of Ohio. I mean, even if it turns up the coast, it's going to affect everybody.
Right.
Some way.
And, you know, I don't know what the best possible outcome is because it's not going to stop. You know, like weather is
There's three active hurricanes in the Atlantic right now.
Hey, real quick, while we've taken this turn of like talking about really sad and troubling stuff, if you have the time and you have the means, you have the resources to do so, please reach out and contribute to Tamalan's GoFundMe for her brother.
Yep.
If y'all aren't familiar with the story, he was the gentleman on August 27th that was struck by a car and drugged 375 feet. As a result of it, he almost lost his leg. He's in a coma, I believe. Mm-hmm. He punctured lungs, broken ribs, broken leg, internal organ injuries.
They arrested the culprit.
Bad crack in the back of his skull, so they don't know like what the brain, you know, if there's any possible damage. It's just a horrible, horrible story. And this guy, even with insurance, I mean, we know how things work in America, and he's going to have some bills that could cripple him. So,
yeah.
Card Nation always does a good job of taking care of our own. Let's do it again.
And Tamalan's a treasure. If you haven't had the pleasure of meeting her, she's one of the best Cardinal fans, devoted, and she's a sweetheart. Yep. And
she's my agent.
There you go. Even if she wasn't, this is a worthy cause. But it's a great family. It's a little
different for us because we know them personally.
Yeah, she's our friend. So,
you want to get into dudes talking now and like get this thing back to being
let's get more positive. Hey, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. You know, dudes talking.
dudes talking now.
Joe Pesci is here on set here. Joe had an interesting.
Joe, you want to tell us about what happened at Lucas Oil Stadium?
Story time with Pat Boy.
Are you comfortable?
Good.
You're in the nest. We want you to
know.
You're in the tree.
You're in the
circle of trust.
Circle of trust in the nest with the nest
maybe,
inside
maybe
the tree.
Maybe it's like a flower with a rose in the front. Maybe it's something I've never seen before.
Maybe something black. Something, you know. Maybe it's a thong. You know. Wait, what? I thought I was still in the tree.
Yeah. Something turquoise.
Are we not still
in the tree? We're not in the tree anymore. Joe put his hood up to tell this story.
He's got... Are you Kermit now?
All right,
just get him a tiki torch.
Okay, so here's the thing. First of all, my ride didn't come to pick me up to take me down to Papa John's to get on this party bus as advertised.
For the Purdue game.
So I hop in Joe Force One. I skedaddle on down there. I get down there right before noon, so they didn't have to wait for me. And I noticed that it's a school bus. I'm like, okay, it's cool. They don't have seatbelts. Nothing to trip over. I won't be paranoid. So we get on the bus, and man, this thing is riding like something. I guess nobody thought that maybe we should go get an inspection on it before we take it 90 miles, you know, north. It happens. So we're riding, and this thing's wobbling bad, you know. That's not even the first time. I'm sorry. Let me back this up.
Well, tell us who's on the bus with you.
I'm on there with, like, Luke Hancock. He's the one that put it together. It was Luke and his buddy Brock. Brock owns the bus. He bought it just so, you know, he can take big groups to Derby and you know, if they want to go. Like, it's cool.
I know who Brock is.
Okay. Of course you do.
Yeah.
You know everyone. So it's Brock's bus. And Mark Ennis and I are riding up there, and we're like the dad and the grandpa of the group because it's all these 20-somethings that are just passing handles around and you know, they're shotgunning beers. And it made me reminisce, you know, on the good old days. So anyway, oil light comes on. So bus driver's like, we got to pull over. We pull over in a gas station. Brock went to buy 40 Whoppers at Burger King while a guy with his blue jeans tucked into his cowboy boots walks over to our bus. And guys, it was exactly like the dude in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles that picks him up and he rides in the back of the truck. He walks up and is like, you boys have an engine trouble. And we're like, yeah. He goes, burn me my kit. And he just drops on the ground, rolls under the bus, and then a woman brings him a tattered toolbox. And I'm like, I'm standing off to the side with two guys. I don't even know them, but I'm like, one of two things is about to happen. We're either going to die on this thing, it's going to explode, or we just like upgraded to the most efficient 1980 school bus because this dude is going to do some stuff to it. So he gets us up and running. We're operational. We're back on the road. Then it's just riding real rough. So we get outside, and it's hard to explain this on radio or over a phone or anything, but we get outside to check the tires on the bus, and we get behind it and look underneath. The rear interior on the driver's side, it had a swelling on the inside of it.
They call that impact fracture.
Dude, it looked like our tire looked like an egg, not a tire.
Right.
And I'm like, that's not good, and that's about to blow. So we make it to a – we Google and find out that there's a Firestone and there's a tire company a couple – just a couple miles away. So we get on the interstate and we're driving like real slow. We get to the tire shop, call an Uber, hop in the Uber, ride from there to Lucas Oil. Get to the radio show with Mark. I was just stressed out and overly eager and wanting to tailgate. So Mark made the executive decision to be like, let's just let Joe go be Joe because he's it's a slippery slope. And so I went and tailgated, had a blast, hung out with my man LJ, and when Dave got off, he hung out with us. Got to meet Cards All Day 26. It was a Christmas miracle that can only take place at UofL tailgating. We squashed that out, and we're like, he was actually like, dude, he knows Brian Hall. So he was like, he called Brian one day when I was on. It was like,
did I meet him?
I think so.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which one was he?
Tall, red skinny, redhead
ginger
guy.
Kid. Had a
ginger. I missed this. Gone.
Tall.
So anyway,
I wasn't around for this.
He and I used to just go at it on Twitter, and you know, I mean, like, is what it is. Anyway, he was just like, you know, man, I quit Twitter because it's just like I'm not good on it. It's not good for me. He was like, I get drunk and I let my emotions out, and I'm like, hey, man, we can all relate to that. But he was really congratulatory of all of us at the Crunch Zone. Said he listened all summer long and really enjoyed it. Even and Brian told me Monday, he's like, yeah, he called in one day. It was like, is Joe Kelly T? Joe Kelly's TBG, right? And he's like, yeah. He's like, shit, man, I actually like him a lot. So we actually made up, changed numbers. We're going to catch a beer at some point. Because
check your name off of the list like Bill.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Well, I feel bad that I don't I remember meeting, but I just feel bad because sometimes you forget.
Oh, there was a lot going on at that tailgate. I don't think anybody's mad.
It was chaos, man.
And we'll all meet back up at Clemson again, I'm sure. So I'd given my ticket away to a buddy because I had another buddy that was coming up there just to tailgate and party with like Derp and some of the other people that were going to be there. So I gave my ticket away so that I could hang out with him during halftime and he wouldn't have to watch the game alone. My pal decided that in the second quarter that it was a boring game, so he was leaving to beat traffic and just listen to it on the radio. So I'm like, I have about enough time. I have another ticket. I'll make it over to the stadium, you know. So I get in there. The ticket that I had, I was in the Purdue section, and I didn't know you could just go over to the Louisville section like everybody's been yelling at me right now. I was confused, angry, frustrated, tired, a little hungry. You know, I was in a glass cage of emotion, boys. So I'm sitting there, and I get in there at halftime, and it's just hooker and stripper jokes and motorcycle jokes and Italian restaurant. You guys know. And I'm like, I thought
I've never heard any of these.
Well, I'm like, I thought the engineers – point is, even the engineers in Indiana are still Hoosiers.
Yeah, dude, they're just not funny.
They're trash. And so I was like, yeah, and I don't remember exactly what I said. I know I didn't curse at the guy. Because I was very self-aware of, like, don't forget today you were wearing an ESPN shirt.
Yeah.
So it was basically just like, could you either be funny or shut up, you know?
Yeah.
Like, entertain me, dude. I'm from Kentucky. I've heard it all.
Yep.
And
horse.
So then about 5 minutes later, as soon as they're lining up to kick off in the second half, a guy in a yellow jacket comes up and says, excuse me, sir, the text line is, we've been notified via text that we have to remove you from the stadium.
See, that's the thing to be abused, man.
Eight jerks did this move to me. They just smile and wave their phones
just
at me.
Dicks, man.
And and I was like, dude. And even so, I will give like two Purdue fans because they were like, man, y'all ain't shit for that. And they're like, ha ha ha, high fiving and stuff. And the security guard was as nice as, you know, anyone could be. He's like, dude, I'm really sorry. You know, it's like he was like, it's a rule. It's something that got implemented thinking that it would be a great idea, but morons take advantage of it, and they use it for the wrong intended purposes. And if you get, like, more than X amount, they have to boot you.
Mm-hmm.
There's no judge there, you know.
Shout out to the Eagles.
So
this is what we do when people are standing and yelling when Louisville has the football on Papa John's Cardinal Stadium. You hit the text line, and you get them out.
So
do we have one of those? We do have one of those, right?
Yeah. So if they're making noise during offense – out.
Well, I could have been doing that for UK games all this time.
The dude, when I was walking with the guy, he made me feel awful because he's like, because I wasn't arguing with him. I was just like pleading my case, like, dude, seriously, look at all the open seats. Can I just go sit in one of them? And he's like, he finally was just like, bro, I make $10 an hour. Like, it's not that I give a shit, but I kind of do because I need the job. So I'm like, damn. All right, man. I almost wanted to buy him a slice of Scrumptious John's on the way out the door because he's
Jesus.
So I get out in the stadium. I'm not going to repeat what the Purdue fan called me, but it was a homophobic slur that I haven't heard since the Eminem years. And so I'm like, I'm
way to go, West Lafayette. Way to represent.
So I'm walking, man. I'm walking through the parking lot, and these guys are following me, and they're just jawing the whole time. And so I start like surveying the scene to figure out when it goes down. What am I going to use a weapon? And then I'm casually turning around to check him out because I'm like, if I'm getting jumped by four dudes, I'm identifying the weakest one, and he's going to the ER with me.
Throw punch.
Yeah, like I'm picking one of you out, and you're the only one I'm swinging at. So I'm walking, and like I'm really thinking like these dudes are going to jump me. And then shout out to the stereotypical U of L fan with the chin strap and the tattoos.
From Dixie Highway, baby, South Side.
Dude, they flank these guys because I make it to, you know, that like run, that row that mm-hmm. Red Rage was on. I turn that corner, and then they flank them. They're like, yo, Ben, everything all good? These boys giving you a hard time? I was like, they've been talking shit since I walked out of Lucas Oil, and I just kept walking, and I don't know what happened. So I get
a couple of mechanical engineers didn't have a good time.
No. So to wrap this all up, I get about 50 yards from Red Rage, and I'm pretty sure it might have been the kid that Red Rage took the picture of, because it was a kid in a Lamar Jackson jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Laying on his back, covered in his own vomit.
Yeah.
So I sprint
they
down
went
to
strong.
I sprint down to Red Rage and bust open a cooler and like I'm like first I'm like crap, there's no beer. I really need a beer right now.
They drank them all,
but they did have water. So I grab two bottles of water. I go down there. I roll this kid up on his side. I'm talking to him like, hey buddy, can you get up? And he's like, you know, like he's gone. So I pour the water one bottle over his face to get the barf off of him. And I'm like, I'm not robbing you. I need to get your cell phone so that I can call one of your friends to come get you. And he's just so out of it. And I'm like, God, I hope I don't touch this kid's wang. Like, reaching into another man's pockets is not something anybody wants to do.
Open his phone, gotten up, opened Uber, and ordered yourself an Uber to Louisville.
Man, no kidding. God, I wish I had
kid's
now.
Kid's got a $600 Uber bill.
So,
but Joe Kelly
what
got
what happened?
Home.
Well, I gave you a water, and I cleaned off your face. You owe me an Uber to Louisville.
So I'm going through his text to try to figure out the last person he contacted with that he was with. And dude, this kid just got drunk and like shoot or shoot. Every girl in his address book got a
girl. What you doing? Okay, you in Indy?
Oh really?
So finally, yeah. Hey, you in Indy? What's up?
So I finally
what you doing, girl?
Oh dude, and it's like PFT commenter, you know, like multiple commas, spaces. So I'm like, I finally I get to his calls.
Shooter shoot.
And I found the last, incoming call. So I called him, and they're like, Bobby, where the fuck you at? I go, not Bobby. I found Bobby in a ditch. Come get your mans. He's covered in his own filth. And they go, dude, he shit himself again?
Again.
So then I'm just like, did he do this today? They're like, nah, man, you know, freshman year, though. And I'm like, yo, so this kid is accustomed to being the biggest train wreck in the area.
Goodness, man. Drink responsibly.
And then, so to wrap it all up, to put a nice bow on this turd sandwich of a night or of an afternoon, everybody on Brock's bus is so drunk, like so hammered, and they're like, why can't we go? And I'm like, because we gotta wait on Ennis. He's doing the post game show. Ennis had no intentions of riding on that bus home.
No.
And he didn't let us know that. So like when I go back to check on him, I'm like, we've been waiting 45 minutes, you know, how much longer are you doing? He's like, oh, you can go, I'm riding back with Pat. Son of a bitch.
Yeah, I was listening to Ennis on the way home.
So, yeah, we get back on the Lost Highway because the fog was horrendous.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just like, this is how it's going to end for me. On a bus with a bunch of people snoring and one rowdy dude karaokeing Eminem. And then when I finally said, fucking stop with the Eminem, we got Limp Bizkit.
Oh, go back to the Eminem.
I was like, all right, Marshall's fine. So we finally, yeah, and then we finally get home or get back to Louisville. And I'm like, crap. I was going to leave my car down here because I have had a couple of beers today. I don't drink and drive at all. I'm like, I can't call my wife because it's 2:30 in the morning. That's what time we got back, about 2:30.
Okay. Like, I was asleep in my hotel room.
It's not bad. 2:30 is not bad.
Like, Biscuit was slumbering.
She's got a She's got to be up early, so I can't do that. I'm trying. I didn't want to take an Uber, but I guess I will. And then somebody's like, I can give you a ride. I'm like, yeah, you look sober. So
you look sober.
So, yeah, I got home, and I just went and sat down in the living room. Like, after my buddy dropped me off and we'd been talking, I just sat in the living room, man, and curled up in a ball and rocked slowly. It was if I had to describe how I felt at the end of the day, it would be Jim Carrey in Dumb and Dumber when he's in the bathroom with Seabass.
Find a happy place.
I'm, like, in the corner sucking my thumb.
Rocking. Angry.
You know what a better description actually would be? Would be in the Royal Tenenbaums when Richie sits down on the tennis court, takes off one shoe, and just starts crying. So my wife comes in, walks out, because she'd heard the door shut and, you know, and the dog going crazy. And she comes out and just is like, the hell's wrong with you? I go, I've been broken. And I don't know that I can put it back together. And she goes, well, you need to, because you look weak as shit right now. I'm going back to bed, though.
I didn't marry this.
Right? Go back to bed.
It's not what I expected.
Like, huh, my wife just called me a puss.
Melissa's the best. Can I just... She's the absolute best.
So that was my Purdue experience. I don't think I'm going back to Indiana. I'm done,
dude.
No, I'm serious, man. I'm done. I'm on team pointer.
I've been in that canoe.
Was that a tooth?
It's my crown. Yeah,
it fell out because of the Mike and Ikes.
Yeah.
Oh,
got God. Me.
The Sorry, guy I got a teeth phobia.
When did that happen?
Just now, like okay. A few minutes ago.
And he keeps everybody trucking. Do it. And he keeps on it. Trucking.
Nah, yeah, I kept eating the Mike and Ikes after that. I'm ignorant and I have food issues.
Fat, dumb, and drunk is no way to go through life, son.
Make the difference, Dean Wormer.
Did me well.
Anyway, I've been on the fuck Indiana bus for a long-ass time. I hate that state. Mm-hmm. I literally only go to Indiana to go to the boat, which I did this weekend. I went to Indiana.
Oh, we met Jason Gruner, too.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Nice.
He lives over in my neighborhood, so we're going to party it up now.
Sweet, let's do it.
You're invited.
I know I am. That's why I said let's do it. I had to go over there for another reason a couple months ago to help somebody else out, and I got the bill in the mail for the tolls, so that even further reinforces the fact that I'll never go to Indiana.
It's pretty ballsy to think we owe you money for improving your state with our presence.
$4 a pop that way, $4 back if you don't have the Riverlink.
I'm going to get billed for the... I had a rental car. I didn't drive my own car. I just used a rental because it was...
Ooh, well, I'm going to get billed again.
You're going to have a bigger
bill. I had to go up to Indiana.
Was there for it was just like, it'll be $8 total, four going for it. I'm like, well, I have a transponder on my other car. I should just threw that damn thing on there. But fuck Indiana. Fuck Naptown. I cannot stand Lucas Oil. It's been like... You read Buckheadism. It's been a house of horrors. There's nothing's good ever come from Louisville. I mean, yeah, you go to the Final Four and you win against Duke, but then you lose to Kevin Ware to like the worst broken leg injury on national TV.
Either 80 or 83 was the championship was in Indianapolis.
Yeah, but it was at Market Square then.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
It wasn't an RCA Dome. But
seriously, the only reason to go to Indiana is to go to their damn boat.
Or I mean, like,
yeah, my grandmother's over there. That's really my only reason to go.
You got to move her to Louisville, bud.
Like, Granny, come back over to this side. Mm-hmm. Oh, she likes it in jail.
Sunny side of Louisville, my ass.
That's right. Well, Joe, that was Joe's story about getting kicked out, and that was our whole week, really.
Fuck you, Lucas Oil. I've been kicked out of much classier places. I'm not even top 10 nice shit that's
that
stuff.
Sounds
like
Joe. Suck too.
Yeah.
Couldn't hear a damn thing.
Let me tell you, Louisville fans, like, we know how we are with drinking all day. We've been over it plenty of times. We all have a story, or at least most of us saw somebody. I know I saw somebody in their own sick in the stadium. Like, he literally got there. A big group of them got there at the beginning of the second quarter.
I'm so sorry to interrupt you, Biscuit, but I forgot the other real, like, the reason why I was just like, ah, screw it, I'm tailgating now. So I come back. I had to go to the bathroom when we went to break. And I'm standing in the Porta John because, again, you know, you got to be responsible when you're repping the studio. You can't go pee in a bush. So I'm waiting in line, and this drunk, ugly Purdue fan, she walks up, and I guess she stepped in, like, a sinkhole or something because she did, like, one leg got shorter than the other. And she falls forward, and, I mean, it was in slow motion. I'm like, no. Her drink, I don't know what it was, but it smelled awful, hit me straight on the crotch.
Oh, yeah, you told us about that.
So I'm standing in line, and I'm like, everybody walking by is like, that guy pissed himself. I guarantee that's what they're thinking.
You went over it on air.
Yeah, you discussed this on live radio.
I was devastated, dude. Like, I was so angry. I was so fucking angry.
I was devastated.
Like, I was like, I haven't even had a beer yet, and this lady's dumping trash bag hooch on me.
Trash bag.
And then later after the game, there are people doing shots out of actual trash.
Good. Can we just not discuss that?
I didn't want to touch on that. But the guy, so this group of people come in late. Like, and I know that a lot of people were in long lines.
Yeah.
Like a group of like 6-7 people come in late. Sit in the row in front of me. The guy, a woman sitting directly in front of me, and the guy like sitting in front of me and to the left. Like 5 minutes after they get there, maybe less, he just starts throwing up all over himself. All over his clothes.
That's lovely.
On the concrete in front
of
him.
This Louisville
fan? Yeah. All over the place. And the people that are with him are just like...
It's fucking John being John.
Yeah. And they just let him... He's just sitting there in his sick. Like a damn puppy. You know, just playing in it. And
Lamar's
like,
got the ball.
And he passes out by halftime. Stops moving. And everyone's just looking at him.
What age? 20s?
Oh, I gotta tell you, he's probably at least 30. Dude. He might have been in his 20s, but from what I could see, it looked like an older group of people. You know what I mean? Like a bunch of folks that were more like 30, early 30s.
Dude, how you going to be doing undergrad?
Dude, I was going hard on Saturday, but I didn't. Like, I was never out of control. Wasn't even close. Like, I wasn't even, like, I never didn't have my wits about me. That's how you got to be, especially in a foreign land.
Yeah, I mean, head on the swivel.
Like Indiana.
You want to be, you want to end up in the freaking sheriff's department in Indiana?
No.
No?
All right, don't go.
That was good, man. I'm drinking water and mixing that with whatever I was drinking. Fine. So, yeah, I was fine.
I drank zero.
I balanced a good time.
I drank zero, and I drove all the way home, and I was, like, fighting sleep, I have to be honest. I was, like...
I stopped drinking at kickoff.
Yeah, you had the bachelor party on Friday, though.
Friday night, the night before, and I drank that, for sure. But to game day, no. No. But bachelor party...
What did y'all do on the bachelor party?
Bachelor party, so we went up... We went to Bakersfield Tacos. We crashed a U of L alumni party at the Tap. And then we went to a bunch of bars. And then one of them was Kilroy's. And then we ended up at Howl at the Moon somehow. And then there was this pizza joint that was right next to Howl at the Moon. It smelled amazing. Probably wasn't all that great, but it seemed like it was awesome.
Seemed like a good idea.
And then that's how I got everybody home. It was like 3:30 in the morning. Woke up at 8 because I was excited about the game. Couldn't go back, but I had a massive headache.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was tired because I only got 5.5 hours of sleep.
And stood out in the sun all day.
4.5 hours of sleep, actually.
Oh, I drained.
And then did a 3-hour radio show. And then stood on the field. My feet killed me by the end of the day.
Oh, I woke, dude. I was cramping up that night when I went lay down. The next morning, I was sore as hell
because it was hot
on my feet all day.
I just think it was that hot. I was like, maybe it's just the alcohol.
It got hot.
It made me hot. And I'm like looking. I'm like pouring sweat. And I'm looking at Biscuit, and he's just like we're both drenched in sweat. I'm like, I'm gonna go sit on the church pew at a Ray tailgate and get me a water or two. And then they brought some muffins from Famous Dave's, and I was just happy.
Right.
I was content.
But, yeah, I didn't want to stay in Indy another night after that, so I kind of got done with some of the work and then took some of it with me, did the rest in the morning. But I was out, man. I was done. Like, I was – as soon as I got into the house, I was totally knocked out.
What time did you get home?
I would say about 3:30 in the morning.
I got back about 1:15. I was, like, doing 80 the whole way through the intense fog.
Yeah, but I had to stop, talk to all the players, talk to all the coaches, go up to the press box, get all my stuff. So, doing 80 on the freeway.
Man.
Yep.
I came home.
Do the 100 on the highway.
After my wife told me to sack up, basically, I was like, well, I'm drinking bourbon and rewatching this game now. So I stayed up late. And then Sunday, I woke up around noon. And it was like, I started to get out of bed. And it was just like, no, bad things happen when I leave this bed. Like, I don't want another Saturday. So like, I didn't even go get my car till like 5.
Well, sweet. To me, that was a good opening game for the fans. I think we can all agree that it was a little rougher. We all kind of false started in a way, and that
deep mark.
You need to give Robbie Bell a little leeway. See if he can recover.
I already have. That was my whole point.
Let me see the tailgate game tape before you throw insults at me. Some of y'all don't get to talk.
Yeah. I mean, even myself. Like for me, like the radio show is overwhelming to me. and it felt like it was a lot, you know.
I had fun.
Straight away. I had fun, but it was like a lot coming at me at once, and I was getting interviews. People were coming up, and I wasn't prepared, so it was like, okay, I'm going to interview Todd Sharp now. I'm going to interview the new school of business dean. I'm like, am I really prepared for this at the Red Rage tailgate?
That guy was really nice.
I didn't even know I figured Todd Sharp was there, but then I hear like the girls in the back of him doing all kind of like tricks and dances. I'm like,
yeah,
they're here too?
Right.
So then that was fun, and you got Luke Hancock walking around. And
it was just a really interesting mixed bag. I'm like, it's not normally like this, Dean.
Yeah.
Like, you know, this isn't normal. Like, there are much more, like, well-behaved tailgates. This one is just the opening season.
Don't be
one.
Lying.
Who got the award? As soon as you got the bus, you had to go give, like, an award out with Luke Hancock, and y'all got mobbed because I was looking for you.
It was, like,
you.
The best tailgate.
Yeah.
What about it now?
Dave was handing out the best tailgate.
Dave from Red Rage tailgate. Yeah. And Luke.
You went with him and Luke.
I'll give you one guess who won it.
Who won it?
Dude, Greg and Marsha.
Greg and Marsha.
Yeah.
Greg and Marsha. Place you took me?
Yeah. Nice. Good people.
They were very helpful.
Good people with the sickest sound. Greg didn't go anywhere without being the DJ. He's got a sound system. He's playing,
dude.
Playing all kinds of music, talking at when we go to Apocalypse Brewery, dude. He'll roll his golf cart up there, have the sound system blaring, and start giving out free beers and playing trivia and stuff on Fridays.
It looked like we were just at another. It looked like we were at an actual club. We went through the tailgate lot, and then he was just down there just spinning. It's like, yeah.
Well, see, we need him and the Red Rage tailgate to combine forces for the mega tailgate, and then you can like we can start to like, you know, get whole blocks.
Oh, just Mark! Greg calls me. We all fall started. Now what we need to do is we need to take all the mega tailgaters and combine them. We'll get everybody together.
That'll happen. That'll work. This is how we make it less crazy.
It was a little nuts. I'll be honest. It was a little nuts.
If only we'd had a good guy with a gun.
You know who stops a bad tailgater with a gun?
It worked out.
It stops a bad tailgater with a bottle of vodka. A good tailgater with a bottle of bourbon.
Yeah, I think for Clemson, we'll be in more in midseason form. I think people will be more prepared.
Dude, Clemson's going to be amazing. Let's get through North Carolina because I want to play.
Hold up. What are y'all doing? Clemson. Y'all got plans? Where are y'all watching the game Saturday?
I'm smoking meat and sitting at the house.
Okay.
I'll be at the house watching that.
What are you doing?
I was thinking about smoking meat and doing another house party. Because, like, last year, the thing was, like, that's why we haven't had a cookout this summer. Because last year, man, football season got almost out of control
at
Kelly Manor.
Yeah.
Like, it was it started where it's like, yeah, we'll have a little cookout, you know, 10, 12 people. End of the season, I'm like, hey, you 40 motherfuckers are going to give me some money. Like, we're going to pass the hat on this one because I'm not here to feed everyone every other week. Like, I love y'all. But I don't even know who some of you are. You just came with others. Hoomst man is this.
Hoomst.
Clemson has the potential to really. I mean, if you remember FSU last year, that was
fucking Hoomst.
Yeah. 24-hour coverage on 93.9 going. And then you got Red Rage over here. And they set up shop. ESPN set up shop on like Friday, and they had like the pregame show on Friday like 3, and people are like getting out of class, just like, oh, I'm just gonna walk over there, and then. Saturday morning, man, was just a blur. I just remember walking through a dark alley at 6 a.m. and some guy was like, go Cards.
It was wild. But I would expect a much more competitive game this year, Louisville versus Clemson, as opposed to Louisville, Florida State. Hey,
whoever
year.
Wins that game is in the driver's seat at this point.
They really are. Yeah. And Clemson looked phenomenal. And in Papa John's Cardinal Stadium, I mean, it's your opener, okay? And you should have a 2-0 team. And you should be nationally ranked with the defending national championship, and then you have the Heisman Trophy winner in College Game Day potentially. It could – I mean, they need you, worse than ever. And what I said before, quiet on offense, you got to do it. But when Clemson gets the ball, you have to remember to return the favor for what they did to you last year. Strobe lights, purple dude. Lamborghini on, like, a 1,000 level
ears
volume.
My ears are still ringing, dude, from being up there. I was in Louisville section at Death Valley, whatever that stadium's called, Memorial Stadium or whatever it's called. And I just remember my ears ringing from them bouncing off that concrete. And it was like they made a point to scream their lungs out every single play.
Yeah, a lot of artificial sound. Don't let Clemson fans talk to you
playing
about
through the cadence
that it's
and
just
everything.
All their stuff. They're playing through the cadence. They got – I mean, and then, you know, the epileptic – Valley is what I want to call it.
Loud.
Like, we're going to flash, like, screaming, like are you epileptic? We're testing it. Or why are you seizing right now? Why are you foaming at the mouth? I don't understand.
Every light in Clemson, in downtown Clemson, was on for whenever Louisville was third down. Epileptic. I just remember, like, looking back. And, like, everybody's just sitting there like, dude, I really can't see and I can't hear now. And it's third and one, and Louisville's like false start. And everybody's like, yeah, we did our job. Do it again. They just cranked it up, and they were just like, this is how loud the decimals can go in Death Valley. I'm just like, well, you got like 80,000 people here, and plus you got the state-of-the-art sound system.
Like every single speaker in South Carolina
was on
full blast. Yeah. And I tell you what, man, we were at the Tom Jurich. He was kind of giving people a tour of, like, what the stadium was going to look like. He goes, you know, we really just have to – we have to turn it to 75% because it's just too much. And I said, no, after being at Clemson, you know, nothing is really too much after that, because if Clemson's here, it cannot be too loud, because that place was absolutely out of control.
I remember thinking that the band can't play when the team's on the field. They had to cut off – like, the music can't be playing. Like, the team has to be able to hear it. And I just remember that I kept saying – they're not turning off their music. They're supposed to turn off the music when it's on third down. Not supposed to be blaring like House of Pain right now.
Right. But and they were. I mean, this was every third down.
Every third down.
That was it. And it was blaring. I don't know how to make it louder than this. And it was like, oh my God! Like, and they're jumping out of control. I mean, they were really loud. They made a lot of noise themselves, but they were using every single piece of noisemaker that they had. It was unbelievable. So the student sections, y'all need to be packing those smoke bombs they bring to Louisville FC. Y'all need to have megaphones, like you know the clang of Mississippi State. Like,
we need every
noisemaker. Like, I want people to be wearing cymbals on their knees, just clanging.
Well, I already do.
Clang, clang, clang.
I already do.
I'm a one-man band advocating that we bring back the Charleston.
I don't know.
We need everything we can get.
You need every single piece of noise.
I think
noise
first
available.
Home game, that atmosphere, especially if the weather's holding up, like it's supposed to be holding up, I think we're going to be fine.
Now, if a disco ball isn't swinging in front of Dabo Swinney's face with a million lights coming off of it, then we've made a mistake. Because I want to know. I want to find out if Dabo Swinney's epileptic, because they found out if I was. Like, you know,
welcome to Scrumptious John's, bitch.
Yeah. Are you epileptic? Can you take 3 hours of just pummeling light into your pupils?
You're going to be diabetic. Like, come on.
Better lights, better sound.
Scrumptious John Stadium.
Let's end it on that one.
All right. We'll see y'all out of here. There's some purple Lamborghini. We'll see y'all on the other side. This has been the Crunch Zone Podcast.
Go Cards.